Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight. Welcome to the place. Hopefully you can hear me good. And we're here live. Yeah, it's Monday night. How about that? Really good to be here, and glad we're alive and well and doing good. Hopefully you're doing the same. And we're going to be praying for you guys here in a little bit, if you want, or talk or share or something. Going to get going with something there. Yeah, hopefully everything is good. If it's not, sometimes not everything's good. Have a lot of things good, but not everything. So we can talk about that a little bit, maybe. And all right, so we are here to pray for you, minister to you, give you some kind of encouragement. Maybe you can share something cool you got from the Lord. That would be awesome. And yeah, that's always good. Where we go tonight? All right, you can call into the show 319-527-6027 and get ministered to and get prayed for. And we can believe God to, you know, do something with you, for you, and maybe give you some direction on which way to go, how to get there or whatever. Something. Can you get something, right? God's always speaking. He's always wanted to speak. He's always wanted to tell his children something, you know. So I think God likes to talk. I think he likes to visit. I think more than anything, he just flat out likes the fellowship. His children, whatever that is, right? So if you need fellowship tonight, need a little bit of encouragement, you know, we're here to, in his behalf, to deliver information that we will get from him, minister to you, get to you personally, get right here live on the show, and it doesn't cost you a thing, really. So I think that's what's really awesome, is that freely we give and freely we receive. So you want a freebie receive instead of having to pay for it? Start freely giving. I mean, literally, start freely giving. That's your attitude. You know, at work, you're going to be working and making a living because you got to make a living, right? You're going to get paid for that. But while you're there, everything you do it in the thing of giving. You know, you give, like if you have 8 hours, you know, in those 8 hours, give it like you're, you know, giving 9 hours or 10, you know. And really give. And some people I know, some of you guys have business. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, people sometimes just like, they try to just do whatever they can get by with for the 8 hours, thinking that, you know, these people owe me. I'm like, wow. I mean, they can do that, I guess, whatever they want to do. But if you really want to be blessed, learn how to give, you know, even when you're getting paid, right? Yeah, you can give out of that. You can give, have a giving attitude. You can have a giving spirit. And so start giving any way you can, and give with your time, give with your prayers, give with your compassion. You know, you just give. When you start giving, friend, God starts giving back to you. Especially when you remember that you're doing it unto Him. If everything you do unto Him, right? And you can remember that and keep that up front. Sometimes we do forget. Sometimes we give to our church instead of giving to God. I mean, I've done that. You just forget about who you give it to, and you give to your church instead of giving to God, or you give to, you know, maybe PGN instead of giving to God. I don't know what it could be, but, you know, we just need to remember, you know, who we're giving to, what we're doing. When we give unto the Lord. Even when we're doing it for people, we don't give to get something back, right? We give freely. Friend, if you ever get in that mode, if we can learn how to get in that mode and stay in that mode, always giving, always giving. I mean, we're not talking about giving money. You can do that too, you know. You can buy a friend a lunch. You can, you know, $5, give him $5, you know, whatever that too. But we're talking about just having a giving spirit about you where when you talk to people, they feel like you're giving something to them. You're not trying to always get them to, you know, obligating them to make sure that you owe me now for what I just owed you. You know, and freely give. there's something about it. And I tell you, as we get a hold of this thing, God's going to begin to reward us highly, highly. Right? It's not just giving money. Giving money is awesome. It's about giving your life. For God so loved the world that he gave. I mean, it wasn't just, he didn't just give, you know, his son. I mean, he gave everything. He gave the earth. He gave the trees. He gave the fish. He gave everything. God gave everything. And yet we treat him sometimes, not us, of course, not the PGN friends, but, you know, some Christians get so, they forget who they're serving. They forget who owns everything. They forget that job they have, that God gave them the body and the brain and the gifts and talents to be able to do that job. And they forget, you know, when they get paid, like say, okay, you know, God, okay, you know, I'm going to bless you. Because God makes a great partner, right? Most partners, if they're supplying, you know, all the stuff and you're showing up for work and just all you do is show up for work and you kind of do the work and they're supplying all the materials and everything and they're doing all that and you got a partnership going on and they're going, that should at least be a 50-50, maybe a 60-40, 60 for them and 40 for you if everything belongs to them, right? And you show up and you work. That's a pretty good deal. That's a real good deal. But you know what God does? God goes 90-10, 90 for you, 10 for him. I mean, I don't know. The more I think about that, I'm thinking, my gosh, you know, all the times I didn't do that, how greedy I must have been. Or I just simply forgot about who God was, who, you know, how he supplied for me, how he blessed me, how everything we have was given to us by God. Everything in the earth was created by God. It's all a creative miracle, right? We've talked about that before. Everything is a creative miracle, friend. It's a creative miracle. Right? It's all there. The trees didn't used to be there. One day God said, let there be trees, and there was a tree. It was a creative miracle. It wasn't, and then it was. And now it is. So we have to remember that, all the dirt and the ground and the rocks and the bricks and, I mean, all the material that came to, you know, that was there to build whatever you're building, whatever you got going, where you live, wherever you're at, whatever car you're driving, all that material, everything came from God. And then we turn around and we think, and we rob God, like a lot of, you know, a lot of business people who don't believe in God, they sure rob God, right? Most of them do. Some of them have a giving spirit. They'll have people, but they forget who gave them all, who supplied all that, where all that came from, that the earth came from God. God gave it to us. He gave man dominion over it, right? And then, of course, the devil, big bad devil came along and deceived Adam and Eve, and they fell. And there was a transfer of wealth. I think that was a major transfer of wealth, y'all. Think about it. That was a major transfer of wealth, and it happened in just probably a few minutes, maybe a few hours altogether, when Satan tempted Eve to eat of that fruit, right? And then she gave it to Adam, and they both sinned. I mean, whatever amount of time that was, Satan got a transfer of wealth. Of all the earth, all the trees, everything now became his, right? Because God gave the gift of the earth and everything in it to Adam and Eve. He said, here, take dominion over it. It's yours. I'll come down, fellowship with you, and show you how to do it. And, you know, if you need have any questions, we'll answer them. You know, everything was created by God. Beautiful. And then Adam and Eve gave it away. Man, you talk about a massive, all the gold, all the silver, all the water, everything, all the trees, all the fruit, everything was transferred over into Satan's hands. So when he tempted Jesus in Matthew, when he tempted Jesus, remember that in the wilderness, when he tempted Christ, said, you know, if you'll pick him up on a mountain and said, high mountain, said, you know, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you just bow down and worship me. He meant that, and that was real. And that was true. Right. You talk about a transfer of wealth. Think about that, man. I mean, it was amazing. Even now, when we think about it, you know, everything in the earth it belongs to God. We get to work it in our businesses and our companies and our go-to-jobs and businesses, whatever we're doing. You know, everything that's made. I don't care. God didn't make computers. That was a long time ago, but he made the metal and the plastic and all the parts and all the things that was able to make it all, God made every bit of it. And yet we forget about giving him the glory for it. He just wants us to enjoy it and give him the glory. That's all. He's not trying to take it. He's not trying to say, hey, get that part back. No, he's just saying, hey, you take 90, I'll take 10. About that. That's it. That's all there is to it. Really, really cool. Really, really. Talk about the spirit of greed that has come upon me at times in my life where I thought, well, you know, I don't know. I can't afford it. Can't afford to do that. God starts dealing with me. I mean, I've been dealt with horribly. You know, it's amazing how we can deceive ourselves, how I have deceived myself before. Oh, my God. Yeah, it can really happen easy. So, anyway, I didn't plan on going there tonight, but we did. All right, one other thing I want to talk about tonight is our spirit man and how that we talked about this in 1 John. I want to talk about that a little bit tonight because I think we really don't understand it like God wants us to. You know, I got this. I wrote this down a couple of days ago. So what I want to help us understand is how that, especially in our born again state, you know, our state of mind, our spirit man that's been recreated. How many times we talk about that? But yet, I don't think I've ever really gotten a hold of a language to make it real for God's people. And here's what I want. How I want to say it to you. Now, I said our spirit man, our born-again spirit man, right, not our dead spirit man. Well, your spirit man before you get born again is dead in sin. But Ephesians 2 says we were dead in sin, right? So our spirit man was dead, right, to God. It was dead to God, dead to life, dead to, you know. So when we got born again, our spirit man came alive. So your spirit man comes alive and starts knowing, that's the knower part of you. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. You know what he's talking about? He's not talking about your soul so much, that too, but he's mainly talking about your spirit man. Your spirit man is seated with Christ in heavenly places. And so he knows exactly what's going on with God all the time. So I think that in this realm that we live in the natural realm, sometimes your spirit man, I don't think sometimes, I think a lot more than we think. I think your spirit man is aware of things that are going on around you, but it sounds so crazy. It sounds so wild. It sounds so, you know, am I like losing my mind? I feel like something's happening around me. Something's going on around me. You guys have felt that. I think everybody's felt that. Oh, something's wrong, or something's right, or something good's about to happen, or something bad seems to be happening. Spirit man, friend, let me tell you something. He's the knower part of you because he's been born again, and he knows the voice of God, and he also knows the voice of the enemy, because when you know the voice of God, you know the voice of the opposite. You know the voice of hate. You know the voice of evil because you're comparing it to the spirit of life, to the voice of life, which is Christ Jesus, the Lord. Which he's seated with Christ in heavenly places and knows the voice of Jesus. So when the voice of Satan comes, your spirit man knows it. But also when the voice of God comes through somebody, or when something's going on in your environment, like maybe in your city, maybe with your children, maybe with your wife, maybe with your husband, maybe with your wannabe wife, your wannabe husband, maybe some, you know, and so you're, let me say, your spirit man, when I walk into places, you know, my spirit man knows things. My spirit man knows things. I can tell you many, many examples. Like when I go to Planet Fitness to work out, you know, when I'm not in Dallas right now, I'm outside of Dallas, so all right, everybody who sent me mail this week, I probably won't get it. I may not get it until the weekend. I'm not even sure if I'll get it then. But, yeah, this weekend, I will get it this weekend. Right, I will get it this weekend. But I'm not going to be there Thursday. So if I miss you, we have several people that give by mail. So if you do that, just let me know how much it is or whatever. Let me know. And then I can pray over it on Thursday. So I'm out of town, right? So but when I'm at wherever, especially the Planet Fitness that I go to in Garland, when I walk in there, I know those people. I enjoy them. We talk. We have fun. you know, we play, we get serious, we do all kinds of things. We have, I just enjoy them, and they enjoy me, and I enjoy them. We enjoy them together. So sometimes when I walk in there, and these are people who far, I don't know where they're at with God. You know, I don't know where they're at. Where they're but I will walk in there, and I will walk up to the counter and check in, and I'll just feel like saying something like, hey, it seems like there is something going on with the banking today, with banking today. Somebody's having a banking problem today. Just out of the blue, I'll say something like that, right? Somebody's having a banking issue today. And I don't look at anybody. There's four or five of them standing there. And, you know, I didn't get that until I walked in there. And I just opened my mouth because the thought came to me. I said, there's somebody having a banking problem today, having banking issues today. Wow. So they'll look at me, and sometimes the person who's having the banking issue, which they know that I don't know, they'll come over to me and say, how did you know I was having a banking issue today? And I say, well, I didn't. I didn't know. Then how did you know that? Why did you say that? You see, friend, what happens is when your spirit man comes alive and gets born again, he walks into any environment and he is aware of things that are going on, especially if the Holy Spirit's helping your spirit man, which is what happened with me. The Holy Spirit helps my spirit man to help people because he knows I like to help people. I want to help people. I enjoy helping people. I love to help people spiritually in any kind of way. So I walk in there. Hey, how y'all doing today? Hey, your hair looks really great. Hey, what happened to yours? You turned it pink or you got it orange. It looks great. Can I have a little bit, you know, and I'll be playing with them, talking to them, tell them how good they look or whatever, what's going on, and tell the guys, you know, how big their muscles look. You're playing around. And so, but you walk in one day and all of a sudden out of the blue, you say, yeah, but somebody's having a banking, something going to somebody's bank today. Having a banking issue. Your checking account. So the person who has that comes over to me and says, man, how did you know that? We were just talking about that before you came in. I'm going, really? And they said, you act like you don't know. But you just came in and you said that. How did you know that? Well, you know, I don't know how I know it. I mean, I know how I know it, but yet if I told you, you wouldn't believe me. So I say, you know, the Spirit of God is with me, and my spirit is aware of environment when I walk into an environment. And because I want to help people, when I come into an environment, my spirit man hears information and knows that there's a banking issue going on with somebody, knows that. I don't personally know it, but my spirit man is aware of the environment that I'm in, and he wants to help him, but somebody with the Holy Spirit helping him. And so they say, well, yeah, this and that and the other. So I might give him a little counsel, I might pray for him, I might do some little quick something, you know. And what I'm saying to you is that many times if you – your spirit man will be aware of things that your intellectual mind is kind of having a hard time with that because it can't see that. It knows, your intellectual mind knows that you don't know anything about what's going on there. So how can you know something when you don't really know anything? Well, the reason you can know something without knowing anything is because your spirit man knows, but your soul does not know. Your mind, your will, and emotions, it lives in the world of what you see and hear. And when you get to know somebody, and if you were talking to them on the phone before you came up to the Planet Fitness thing and they said, yeah, I'm having a banking issue, then you would know they're having a banking issue. And then when your spirit man said it, you go, yeah, I know about that. But you come in, your mind doesn't know anything. Your mind is battling like, no, I'm not going to say that. That'd be stupid. How do I know that? I could never know that. I can't say that. That'd be stupid. I make a fool of myself. But you know what, y'all? I'm so used to making a fool of myself. Not caring that much, so I just go ahead and say it, and they go, "Wow, how did you know that? I mean, how did you know that?" Well, I didn't. My mind didn't know it, but my spirit man is alive, and he's aware of things. And they said, "We were just talking about that before you walked in." I said, "Really? Yeah, we weren't talking loud about it, but we were talking privately about, like, you know, what's going on in my bank account?" And I go, "Well, I don't know." You know, God knows. God knows. And I know. My spirit man knows. Now, my soul, my mind, is trying to say, okay, you know, how you don't see that. You don't know. You don't know anybody. Nobody's, when you walk in, nobody has a sign saying, I'm having bank account issues. Nobody's talking about it when you walk in there. You didn't hear them say it. You didn't hear them talk about it. So your mind is wondering, like, okay,
how can this be real when I can't see it? How can this be real when I can't, when I don't know anybody who's having that in this place? How can I say it? But your spirit man friend knows it, like he just knows it. My sheep know my voice. The spirit man part of you is the only part of you that knows things, whether you're sitting in the car with somebody and all of a sudden you just know something about them, or you know something about what's going on with them or not going on with them or fixing to go on with them. And when you learn, and so your mind is going like, yeah, wow, you know, I can't, you know, I'm losing my mind, man. I keep having all these thoughts about all this stuff, and like, you know, I have no proof of it, so I'm just going to ignore it. And that's what most people do. Most born again, I'm not talking about gifted people who have the gifts of the word of knowledge and the gifts of the spirit and all that. I'm not talking about that at all right now. That's all important. And it all works together sometimes with it. But your spirit man alone is aware of environment. You can walk in, and even though you can't see the words in the atmosphere, words are spirit, right? You can't see the words with your mind, but your spirit man sees the words and knows the words, and you see, and it says, so-and-so is having bank account issues. Now, that's not, you can, it's in the spirit realm, and your spirit man picks it up and goes, yeah, there's somebody having a bank account issues today with their bank. And they go like, huh, how do you know that? We talked about that like 30 minutes ago, and you just got here, so how did you know that? It's not some special gift, friend. It's not some special thing, some word of knowledge. I mean, it's all, I mean that all works too. But I'm just talking about your spirit man, period. Remember the night that we talked about this, about when Jesus, it was getting close to for him. It was Passover time. It was Passover, and he's about to give his life. Remember this? We talked about I think it's Mary, but we don't really know who it is. It says the woman who had a lot of sin. And got forgiven of a lot of sin. Therefore, she was very thankful, and she really fell in love with Jesus. And she came there with her alabaster box and broke the seal and was weeping over him, being over him. Why would she be weeping over him? She should be laughing and rejoicing and having a laughing revival because the Messiah is here. This is awesome. Why was she weeping? And we talked about that. If you go back and read those scriptures that we talked about, the scriptures right before that and even after that, it talked about how the Sanhedrin, and they were having this really private meeting, and they were talking about how can we kill this guy? How can we kill him? How can we do away with him? We can't do it on the Passover because the Jews will, you know, have a problem with it. So they were privately, nobody knew they were having that meeting. Nobody knew they were having it, but yet it was going on. And Mary, because she loved Jesus, the woman who had all the sins, who had the alabaster box, came and was so in love with Jesus, could feel it going on. Her spirit man knew something was happening, and therefore she couldn't even comprehend. She couldn't even, with her mind, she's going like, how can Jesus die when every time they try to come get him, he just walks right through them? So her intellectual mind is going like, I don't even know how that can happen, but something's telling me he's about to die. Oh, gee, and she's weeping over him, weeping, anointing him with that precious, expensive spikenard, that perfume, and Judas and all the other disciples too. It wasn't just Judas. All the disciples said, "Well, what are you wasting that for on your feet, man? On your head? We could have sold that and made some money." They were totally insensitive because their spirit man obviously wasn't listening. They weren't listening to it if they knew anything about it. And Jesus told them several times, "I'm going to die." Obviously, they weren't picking it up that the Sanhedrin and some of the Jewish leaders were hiding in a confined space where nobody knew they were there, talking about crucifying Christ and getting rid of him. They didn't pick it up. They were just saying, oh, we could have sold that. But Jesus said, you don't understand. This woman is anointing me for my burial. And she didn't even know, friend, what she was doing. Because she never said, I'm doing this for your burial. She never said, yeah, that's right. But you know what? I think Jesus was what her spirit man was picking up that was going on in the environment around him concerning his life. And she was picking it up. Therefore, she was weeping. Oh, my Lord, can't die. Even though she probably didn't say the words, she's like, oh, God, what am I? I'm losing my mind. I'm going crazy. I feel like they're going to come kill you, Jesus. oh, God, please protect him. Please watch over him, Jesus. And hear Jesus interpreting what she was doing, even though I don't believe she knew what she was doing. And he said, you don't understand, guys. We're not going to fail this because, you know what? This is precious to me because I know that they're getting together to take me down. I know, Jesus says, I know they're about to come and kill me. And this is Passover day, which I will give my life. I know it. You guys don't know it, but Mary knows it because she loves me, and her love for me, her spirit man, is sensitive to me and who I am. And she knows that I'm picking it up, and she's picking it up. Therefore, she's come to anoint me for my burial. Man, that was all done with her spirit man. Hallelujah. You got to think about that just for a moment. I mean, this is mind-boggling. And so I think that if we can ever break down the walls of I got to have this gift and that gift and all, we want you to have all the gifts. You need having all the gifts that you can get, man, they are amazing, and I have a few. But I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing more beautiful, there's nothing more real than a spirit man that is in love with Jesus, loving God. And she wasn't even really born again yet, but her love for Jesus superseded a lot of things. And she was picking that up. And Jesus knew it and confirmed it. Friend, your spirit man can know things because it's seated at the right hand of the Father. Even though it's seated with Christ in heavenly places, even though it's seated with him in heavenly places all day long, he's also still, you know, attached to this realm through your soul, through your mind, your will, and emotions, which cannot figure out why is she weeping over him and taking that alabaster box, could have sold that and made some money and fed the poor. Taking care of the needy. What's wrong with her? She was picking it up. They weren't. They didn't know. Maybe they knew. Maybe their spirit man was trying to tell them, but they were like, nah. Because we know, here's what happens to a lot of people. Maybe their spirit man was picking up the environment of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, whoever they were, that were gathering together to plan on how to kill Jesus and do it the right way. Maybe they were picking it up, but their mind, they went, no, that can't be because Jesus is the Messiah, and the Messiah is not going to die. So they were saying, ah, that can't be right. I'm not going to allow those feelings, those emotions to get on me. But this woman did. She didn't try to figure it out with her head. She's just like going, man, it's real. This is real. I don't even understand what's real. This is amazing. And I'm picking it up, and she's weeping over him, anointing him, and Jesus is soaking it up because Jesus needed somebody. Friend, sometimes the reason you need to let your spirit man go free and your mind quit telling you, nah, that can't be going on. No, because we have some doctrine, we have some belief system that says, no, the disciples thought, nah, if they were ever thinking that something's going on, they were rebuked it because they're going like, we don't even believe that. He can't be dying. No, so I'm not going to listen to my spirit man. I'm going to listen to my doctrine. I'm going to listen to my false doctrine, to my misunderstood doctrine instead. And their misunderstood doctrine kept them from being one with Jesus and respecting and honoring the woman who came to anoint him, respecting her and honoring her and going, like, yeah, Jesus. Too, they'd have all been going like, yeah, Jesus, something's going on. We don't know what's going on. We're feeling something. Yes, anoint him, yeah. And they'd be weeping too. But they let their doctrine, they let their belief system, they let their human intellect and their eyes, they couldn't see anything going on because these guys were hiding in a place where nobody knew they were there. Nobody knew they were doing that. Nobody knew that. But this woman was picking it up, and Jesus was picking it up too. He knew it also in his spirit man. And he began to be sorrowful a little bit then. Are you with me tonight? Sometimes what happened was what Mary did is Jesus goes, man, this woman is sensitive. She is feeling what's happening to me. She's feeling my sorrow. she's feeling that she knows, somehow she knows that I'm bothered by this, that this is difficult for me, instead of being insensitive and saying, yeah, we could have sold that from, you know, we could have, you know, sold that and make money off of it. No, she was, Jesus even said, he said, the poor and the needy, y'all, you're going to have the poor and the needy with you always. You can always help them. What a thing to say about the poor and the needy, Jesus. Wow. He said, you're going to have them with you always, but you will not always have me. Of course, they didn't believe that. He said, you're not always going to have me. But this woman, she knows that I'm going down for 3 days. I'll be back, but I'm suffering. This is difficult. Hallelujah. Are y'all hearing me tonight? What we're going to learn to do, what I want to train you to do and or help you to get there is to start listening to your spirit man, your born-again spirit man, who's filled with the Holy Ghost and created in the image of Christ, to learn to listen to him, because even just him by himself is very sensitive and aware, much less with the power of the Holy Spirit. Even by himself is going to be aware of things because he's totally recreated and born again and created in the image and likeness of Christ Jesus. Even without the Holy Spirit, he's going to know things because he's spirit. He knows things. And then with the Holy Spirit, it's even more awesome. And I want to train people. I want to awaken us. I want us to rise up, and I want us to start believing. Start believing that God can do this for us. That we can walk in this realm. That when somebody's having a problem, we can sense it. We can pick it up, and we can go, man, I'm feeling you today. I don't know what's happening, but I feel like something rough is going on with you. Instead of sitting there, no, they're probably fine because I know they got money, they got help, they got friends. No, they don't feel alone. No, they got all kinds of buddies and friends. No, picking it up. Friend, listen. Learn to listen to your spirit, man, because you may need to call them and comfort them like Mary, like this woman comforted Jesus. Even though she wasn't aware of everything that was going on, you may not be aware of everything that's going on, but you may need to call that person, friend, and say, hey, I'm here for you. I don't know what's going on exactly. I feel like something rough is happening to you. And I've done this before. I've had this. I told you the story but when I was working at the dental lab, right before I went full-time in the ministry, 1982. I'm sitting there doing my work. I'm an upbeat person for the most part. I very seldom feel down and bad for long. And all of a sudden, I felt like giving up on life. I was like going, how did I go from feeling good to this? And by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit showed me it was somebody that I knew. I called him up. Now, in my human mind was going like, well, these people are fine. This lady is sweet. She's nice. She's a strong Christian. She's doing fine. I'm not going to worry about this. He's fine. But you know what? I just happened to believe what my spirit man and what the Holy Spirit was telling me, that I gave her a call. Her and her husband are good friends of our family. And so I come and say, hey, you know, what's going on? How are you? And she started to tell me. I said, hang on a minute. Don't tell me. I'm going to tell you how you're feeling. And I described to her friend point per point exactly what I was feeling at that moment. Like giving up on life, like, you know, all this stuff. And she said, Randy, that is exactly what I'm going through. Exactly. How did you know that? I said, I don't know. I don't know how I knew it other than the grace of God. And she said, that's amazing. And it just touched her. It touched her. Nobody knew. She went on like, you know, most of her friends going like, oh, she's so sweet. She's so strong. Nothing going on with her. And yet it was going on with her. She was wanting to give up on life. Something hit her. Something went on. And I just happened to be the one who picked it. And I don't even really know her that well. I knew her husband more than her. I hardly ever even talked to her. Name was Linda. Told me who it was. And I got the number and called her. So, oh, my God, I couldn't believe it. Linda and James. Back in 1982. So you see what I'm saying, friend? It wasn't because I had the gift of the Holy Ghost and the gift of a prophet. Because I was a prayer person, and my spirit man was sensitive, and I chose, thank God, that moment not to listen to my intellectual mind saying, "Ah, she's fine. Why would I be thinking about her in the first place? I didn't even know. Yeah, it's like she's feeling down, like giving up on life. No, that's not her. She's not like that at all. She's a very upbeat person. That's what my intellectual mind was saying, because I couldn't see how that could fit. But it was. It was perfect. It was so perfect. It was shocking to me. Are y'all listening to me tonight?
Are you listening to what the Lord's trying to tell us tonight, friend? Are you? I think you are. Or you wouldn't be on here tonight. Yeah, I'm telling you. This is amazing. I'm talking about a born-again spirit man. Yeah. Yeah, born-again spirit man. Being aware of things that your human mind could never figure out, could never go, oh, yeah, well, I know that's happening. No, because it can't figure that stuff out. It can't see it, so it doesn't believe it, right? That's the way we do most of the time. Yeah. So I want to make you aware of that tonight. And, amen, there's a lot I want to talk about. I got really wrapped up in that, thank God. All right, so we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you tonight that in your spirit, man, come alive. Your spirit, you start learning to listen to your spirit, man, because he's seated with Christ. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He's recreated in the image and likeness of Christ. If you're born again, you're truly born again. And if you are, he's alive and he's aware of what's going on. And if you want to help people, if you love people, if you love God and you love people, your spirit man is going to be feeling people. He's going to be feeling stuff. You got to reach out and touch them, man. Reach out and touch them. You know how you reach out and touch them? Wherever two or more agree is touching the matter, that's because your spirit man is touching them already. Your spirit man is already touching them because he's aware of what they're going through. Like I was touching that lady in my spirit man already because my spirit man was touching her by the Holy Spirit and my spirit knew what was going on with her. Though I did not have a clue, didn't know what she was going to. I didn't even, like I say, I didn't even hardly know her. I knew her husband. It was crazy. It was amazing. And that's not because I'm a prophet. That's because my spirit man, being a prayer warrior, too, does help. Because you're activating your spirit man all the time. All right, let's take callers tonight, see what's going on. Hopefully you're able to get that tonight. And we're going to talk more about the spirit man. I don't know. God just seems to be putting it more in my mind because I think a lot of people don't understand it. I know I haven't understood it, so I want to help you understand it, get a hold of it, and start walking with God in a way that maybe you never have before. Right? God may awaken you in a way you've never been awakened before. Yeah. Well, let's get ready for that. And give me just a minute. I'm going to transition. Give me just a moment here. All right, let's take our caller tonight. Thank you. Our first caller tonight. God bless everybody. All right, my first caller tonight is 720-819. Who am I talking to? I think this is Jeff and Uke.
This is Jeff and Uke, Randy.
Hey, are y'all not going to Thailand yet? When are y'all going to Thailand? To Thailand?
We're working on getting out, to Thailand. We're working on going in May.
Oh, in May. Oh, okay.
Before it was a 2-week quarantine. You had to stay in a hotel. Really, really strict stuff. So now they're really lightening things up, and they've got a 1-day, you stay at a hotel and test, and then you can do whatever. So we're finally going to make it out there. And,
oh, wow.
We've been
awesome.
Trying to go there since we got married and wanted to have, which is a while ago now, but we wanted to have a proper ceremony in Thailand, and we have just never been able to make it, either work or, this 3 years of not being able to go there now. So it's all happening in God's timing. We can go in May.
Awesome. So what's the language there? You have to... I mean, what do? You're English. You speak English, I guess. What's the language there?
Well, there's different dialects, but it's Thai. So it's...
Okay, yeah.
The writing is probably close. Like, our base language is Latin. That would be close to Sanskrit, kind of what it's based on. So it's characters. We saw it, you've never seen before. But there's different dialects for the different cities. So Yuki, she speaks Thai, and then there's a Chiang Mai dialect from where she's from, a northern city called Chiang Mai. And then it's just a melting pot of Vietnamese and Burmese and a lot of other languages kind of going on all there. And Chiang Mai, the city where she's from, is really close to the Burmese border.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Cool. All right. Well, let's pray for you guys. I usually pray for you before I talk. Well, I'm going to mute you just for a second, and then we're going to pray for you, and then we'll see what's happening. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are substantiating his life, substantiating his faith. What does that mean? Hang on. Let me see what that means. Okay. That right, substantiation. Substantiation. I think it may be two different words, substantiation and substantiate. Substantiate. Okay, maybe that is right. Provide evidence to support or prove the truth of. Oh, wow, that's interesting. Substantiate. Yeah, because I heard the word substantiating. Like, God is substantiating your faith, your walk with him. He's going to substantiate that. He's going to provide evidence to support or prove the truth of. And like the example that he uses, they found nothing to substantiate the allegations. You know, it's like, so substantiating is to provide evidence to support or prove the truth of it. So I see, you know, God's just going to take some things that have been of him. You know, not everything that we get is from God, not every little thing we get, but, you know, God's going to take you through and substantiate, you know, provide evidence, you know, for you to support and prove the truth of what, you know, God has been showing you. And so that's cool. I know you believe some really wild things. No, I'm just kidding. That's pretty cool, right? That's pretty interesting. Because I heard the word substantiating your faith, and God's really going to provide you with evidence, prove the truth of the things that, you know, God's shown you. You know, because I don't ever know. When I hear something that's different from what I believe, I'm going like, you know, or something that I can't prove or see, and I'm like going, that sounds kind of crazy to me, but, you know, but with the person that's getting it, if they're getting that from God, that when God substantiates that or provides evidence to support or prove the truth of that, wow, I mean, you know, it's like, okay, it's no longer a conspiracy theory, or it's no longer just a theory. It becomes substantiated with, you know, with evidence. And that is like hot. Oh, my God, substantiating. Interesting. God's kind of done it with me in some things. Like, you know, yeah, I don't want to get into all of it. I'll probably get caught up into that. But, so very interesting, very interesting. So, you know, a lot of things we get are theory at first. You know, a lot of things we get are kind of like, can't really prove it, but we think this is going on, we think that's going on. You know, it can be conspiracy theories that people go, nah, that ain't right. It could be half of it true, a quarter of it true, or all of it true. You know, whatever. Sometimes we get part of the truth about things, and then, you know, but enough to prove what's going on. So God's going to do that for you, man. That is really awesome. I got to even stop and talk about that. That's pretty cool. Wow, did you hear that? That is amazing, man.
Yeah, you made that joke that we dream pretty big. That's some funny stuff.
Yeah.
We talked about some big ideas, you know, buying up cities.
Oh, okay.
And having satellites and having Christians having their own food and grocery stores and farms and seeing that come to reality. That's pretty interesting you said that. Last week, I think I've shared with you a few times that I kind of work in the agriculture, hydroponics industry.
Yeah.
And we we're working on a project. We wanted to sponsor someone's grow facility. They're building one in Oklahoma and Mississippi. And so I connected with him. And then through some friends of friends, it turns out there's a culture scientist that's really well known. He's based at Colorado State University. He has a lot of amazing publications on revolutionary ways to do nutrients and fertilizers and stuff like that. And as you know, that's a big concern with oil and gas prices and Russia and everything. It's really driving up our food prices because the fertilizers are either coming from Russia or made with like nitrates and things are made with oil to fertilize our food. So the prices are going sky high. And so someone kind of mentioned this guy, and I connected with him like 5 years ago. And I thought to call him, and somehow I had his number. And he said, "Jeff, you know, you have no idea what I've been doing. I have all of my own nutrients. We don't need oil and gas to make these nutrients anymore. I've got a giant farm here in Colorado, and I've got three greenhouses. I've got all this land. I've got a lake, and I don't even know what to do with all this food. You know, we should open up a restaurant together. I know you're good at business, or we should distribute this food boxes. I've got this whole facility that's storing all this food, and we don't even know what to do with it, and we're growing so much, and we got this new way of growing it, and it's just so bountiful and plentiful, and you send me all these pictures." And he kept saying, "I got to have you come out to the farm. I got to have you come out." And we're going this Friday to go see him. And this is like everything we've been dreaming of, like the local supply chain and food. And
yeah,
I don't know if this is the direction God's going or not, but it's just another sign of, you know, the way things are going.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. You guys, I think some of the first words I gave you is about like Joseph, you know, creating food, you know, taking the food thing and all that. I don't remember exactly. I get to help me recall those things. But yeah, that's been going
Absolutely.
On for a while. Yeah, and I think this is the first word I gave you before I really knew even, you know, this about you at all. I was hearing that from the Lord about you. And so, yeah, so, you know, when I heard that word substantiating, I mean, I've kind of thought, well, you know, how do you spell that? You know, you know, and yet I know it's a word because I've heard that word before, but I didn't know, you know, specifically, you know, how it would fit in there, but it did, and that's really amazing. So, wow. I know that, you know, I heard a word come out of me last week for you specifically. I think it might have been for both of you. I can't remember, but this was new to me when I heard this come out of my mouth, and it had to do with how that, you know, I even mentioned fertilizers. I mentioned all this stuff. I said, you know, when Adam and Eve had the earth before sin came in, the earth produced, you know, a wealth, you know, of fruit, and, you know, everything just grew abundantly because there was no sin in the earth. But when sin came in the earth, it's like all of a sudden the whole earth got poisoned, you know, and it's like, and I remember telling you that, and I just, listen to that word myself coming out of my mouth going like, that's pretty cool. I mean, it makes sense, but that fertilizers are not the only answer to the problem. Remember I said that, like, I think was that last week or something? I can't remember. Last week. Yeah. Cause I remembered that word cause I was hearing like going, my God, that's amazing. So, to add to what you're doing and to add to your belief system, that the knowledge that sometimes even with the greatest fertilizers and this thing you're talking about and finding, you know, a level of production that, you know, maybe these people have come up with something that's really bigger than they've ever had before. But just think about this. If you walked in there with that anointing on your life, and you said, brother, this fertilizer is amazing. This stuff's really good. It's not really hurting the ground. It's not really hurting food. It's not really poisonous. And you stand up and you say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke sin off this place. And they all go, what's he doing? He's scaring us. You know, and all of a sudden,
that all the fruit that's bigger than anything they've ever seen doubles in size instantly. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what I'm saying. It's like that God is mixing together for you or will the fact that we can have, you know, fertilizers and things that will be good for nature and be good for us, and added to the fact that we're breaking that the Bible says the earth groans in pain since the curse. The earth groans in pain. In other words, it doesn't produce. When Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden, it doesn't produce because sin came. It had nothing to do with, you know, bad anything. It was sin. And, dude, when I heard that coming out of my mouth, and I know it was not just, that's not just the only answer, but it was an answer mixed with everything that you're believing and talking about, I thought, I don't even know how that's going to work, but I saw that in the spirit, and it shook me a little bit.
Oh, it shook me too. I don't know if this is prophecies you gave 3-4 years to me about being able to grow vegetables to Adam and Eve level, like the world's largest tomato tree people have ever seen. And people going to Christmas and saying, "What in the world is going on? What kind of steroids are you feeding these pumpkins? Because this is like Jurassic Park level produce that you're coming up with. How is this happening?"
I gave you words like that?
Yeah.
How long ago has that been? A couple years ago, you say?
Yeah, it's been a long minute. We have them all recorded, but that was a wild one that we said, like, you know, Christians kind of creating their own society and stuff, and that people are going to be, wow, this is, you know, how plants grew in Adam and Eve times. We're going to have supernatural.
Yeah. Wow, supernatural fruit producing power. I don't remember that one, man. I got to hear that one. That's amazing. I believe it. You know, it's not that I don't believe. I believe, but that's pretty cool. And then here I am. You know, I think that was last Tuesday or Wednesday or something, or Thursday. I remember what it was. But you know, like I said, when I was hearing that, and now you're saying I've given you words about that before in a different kind of way. It's like God is now saying to you and to, you know, that we got to remember the spiritual part, reminding us that, yes, we need good fertilizer. We need all these things. We need all this stuff. But when you rebuke sin off of it, you know, and, you know, like praying over property, like people talk about prayer walking, like Mike and Andrea and others do, prayer walking and making the ground happy and that kind of thing, where it will produce to its fullest potential. I mean, I don't even think we have a clue what a carrot's supposed to look like, or an apple, or whatever. You know, I think we don't have a clue what it's supposed to look like, except for one thing I think about. Now, you got to think about this too, man. When they brought back those grapes from the giants, remember that? Remember, they brought one cluster of grapes that was so heavy, they had to carry it on a big pole with two people carrying one cluster. Remember that? That was from the giants. What in the heck did those giants do? You know, what were they doing? I mean, that's mind-boggling when you think about that. Why would a giant planting a seed make it any different from you and I planting a seed?
That's a great question. You know, I think what you gave before the prophecy, it was that this would happen, that there were huge plants that people were going to figure out, but you didn't say how. That wasn't part of the prophecy. It's going to happen.
Okay.
And now the other key to it was, it just came out last week when you prayed, was that it's rebuking sin off the land. There was no how to do it.
Woo! Yeah. Like, the fertilizer thing is part of it. It's not like, you know, so I don't know. I mean, the giants were obviously, God didn't like them that well. You know what I mean? Because he ran them off the land. He had the Israelites run them off. So, I mean, that has baffled me. How in the world, And did when Israel got there, did the grapes, did they take the seeds from the grapes, from the giant grapes that they, you know, even brought from when they was spied at the land and they brought one cluster? Did they take the seeds from that? And did those seeds produce the same thing? You know what I'm saying? Come on, we got to think about this stuff, man. That's amazing. And where did that come from? How did they, why did the giant, just because the giants were big, everything was big around them? And that can't be right. It had to be big for a reason. And how did they know to do it? I mean, that's, I've been asking God about that one.
I mean, they could have had, you know, different technology to change the vibrations and the atmosphere, something.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like God's going to give us the answer somehow. I mean, this is, you know, you got to think about that. That's pretty mysterious how that they came, they were bringing back the fruit from the land, showing that, yeah, the giants are big, and here's some of the fruit, and it's huge. We've never seen grapes this, I mean, one cluster, man. You know, one cluster of grapes, it took a big pole and two guys to carry it because it was huge. So, you know, I'm just like going, so something's going to happen with that, where God's going to show us that stuff. I don't know. I feel like we're on the verge. I get this message that I'm preaching on. I haven't preached on it yet, but I kind of started getting some understanding on it about how we've come into the fullness of time at another level. Like when Christ came, you know, that was a fullness of time. In other words, something big was fixing to happen because it was the fullness of time. You know, like when they went into Israel, when they went into the land of the giants, you know, they weren't able to go in before they did because the cup of iniquity was not full yet, right? That's one of the reasons they couldn't go into the land, the promised land, because the cup of iniquity was not full. So that meant that the age, a fullness of time came where the cup of iniquity was full, and then it allowed them to go in and take the land. You know, and so I think that I'm prophesying and saying that we are entering into that place where we're going to see these things happen that obviously you say I prophesied that a couple of years ago, whenever it was, maybe a long time ago, I don't remember. But because we're in another fullness of time. When Joe Biden became president of the United States of America, that was a sovereign, that people still fight with me over this. It was a sovereign act of God to move the globe to a place to where, you know, God could, you know, allow the Antichrist to come forth so that we could come forth and he could come back and take care of business and kind of end this thing, which sounds really big to me, really out there to me. But I keep getting so much confirmation about it that, you know, I'm a sober-minded thinker. You know, I'm just thinking like God has to confirm to me supernaturally. He knows that I don't go for this natural confirmation stuff. I got to have supernatural confirmation. And he's given it to me one after the other. It's mind-boggling. So I think that we're going to, because of the fullness of times that we're in, there's a transition into a whole other realm. You know, heaven's going to come to earth, and that doesn't just mean angels are coming to earth, Jeff. It means that ideas, big, giant ideas, big, giant power, big, giant faith, you know, is coming to the earth to produce big, giant things like big, giant grapes, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? Big, giant results. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah, supernatural proof in the agriculture realm that we don't have it all figured out without the help of God.
Right. And mixing faith with the natural realm. Getting the fertilizers and getting all the things, you know, where they're pure and clean and producing fruit like never before. And then, like we talked about earlier, breaking the power of sin off of it, if you will, or blessing it, whatever you want to say, blessing it so it can produce. Speaking of blessing on it, so that sin is removed, the power of sin is removed, which is the curse, and then watch that fruit just, you know, multiply and increase with, you know, the fertilizer plus faith and the natural realm working together.
Well, it's interesting, this professor, his methodology is a lot of people make compost teas or kind of like natural bacteria kind of things, and, you know, works for a lot of gardens, you know, a compost heap. But it's really
right.
hard to control good and bad bacteria and what you're going to get out of that. And
yeah.
people that have tried that on a commercial scale have actually made people really sick. And so he is synthesizing very specific enzymes, probiotics, microbials, in a very specific formulation, and he's figured out how to take it to as far as the plant will take it without it hurting the plant or not uptaking everything. And he's pushing it to the limit, and then he's getting really amazing results. But it's just living things, living bacteria and organisms that, you know, we can speak life over in prayers and bless the bacteria, you know, as it's fertilizing. So that's really interesting.
I got disconnected. Are you guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Do you hear that big blast of sound? It went right in my ear, man. And my audio, my telephone just disconnected. So anyway, we're back. But go ahead and say that. I missed part of that.
Oh, the rant there was that the professor's work that I'm connecting with is really in microbials and beneficial bacteria, a very specific amount, and how much
right,
the plant
yeah,
can uptake. It's just living bacterium and organisms that if you were praying over that and speaking life to it, that would really make a lot of sense,
yeah.
you know, speaking the forgiveness of Christ and the Holy Spirit into the beneficial bacteria. There you go. That would be amazing.
Yeah, and solve the problem of it. Because I heard about that. I think I heard about that somewhere, that where they couldn't get it right. And when they grew them, they thought they had really had and it hurt some people. It made them sick or something. I can't remember the exact detail about that. But I remember hearing something about that. So we're talking about being able to, you know, faith with, you know, the natural and finding the answer. Because I keep going back to this thing about what the word I gave you last week about this was that all of a sudden I realized that, hey, I saw the whole earth being poisoned, not with, you know, bad stuff from man, from sin, and how sin totally cursed the earth. I mean, the whole earth was cursed at one time and quit producing. It took a lot of labor to make it produce, right, instead of just producing like the giant grapes, that kind of thing, producing just kind of naturally, and just, you know, it became difficult to, you know, keep the trees going and make them and make them produce, you know, good fruit and powerful, that whole thing. It's like when I saw that, which was, you know, even though I kind of knew that already, but I never put that together with, you know, what you're talking about, what you do, and it really showed me that God is breaking a seal on that, and he's about to open that up. So we're going to see that happen, you know, and have – I'll listen to this and have evidence of it. Woo! Yeah. Substantiating it.
I can see a regional or atmosphere thing. You know, if there's a famine or this is a new thing God's doing with certain cities that have a high amount of sin, you know, the plants are not able to grow. You know, maybe the same thing happened in Egypt, these famines and things, when there's an incredible amount of sin and impurity in the land, that literally crops are not growing and the city
yeah.
can't be fed.
Right. Yeah. It's going to come together. I mean, and the faith with works, or faith with all of our experimentation, I think that God gives us ideas on how to grow food. And have, because when you think about food, somebody says, oh, what are you talking about food for? That's not very spiritual. Oh, yeah, let's just see how long you can do without some food. Let's see how spiritual you start thinking food is. And how, you know, I mean, it's very spiritual when you start talking about food. It was so spiritual that God gave Joseph dreams about it. And he had to go through hell and back to be ready to, you know, bring that, store that food so that he could save the earth, really. Most of the globe was saved through what he did. I mean, that was amazing. And that was all through ideas from God. You know, ideas from, you know, big ideas coming down from heaven. God gave Joseph big ideas, man. He told him interpretations of dreams, and he told him how to handle it, what to do, and it worked. And it saved all those people. And it changed. It instead of people dying by the, maybe by the millions, I don't know what, how they would. Because you got a 7-year famine. It's one thing to have a 3.5-year famine. You got to think about this. And I've never seen the statistics on. I would like to see a statistic on the difference between a 3.5-year famine and a 7-year famine. Are you familiar with any of that kind of thing?
The cycles of them and which ones are happening when?
I'm sorry. Let me explain a little bit more. So when you have a 3-year, in the days of Elijah, Elijah said, you know, no more rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Well, that created a famine, right? No water. The water dried up. Even with him, the water dried up. He had to go to the widow because his water dried up. And because the river dried up, because there was no, and he's the one that prayed the prayer that stopped the waters from flowing, or stopped the rain from coming. And so with the 3.5, it was pretty bad. But if you added another 3.5 years with no water, how devastating would that be, man? That would be extremely devastating.
That would be worse than a famine. So there would be a famine and no water together. It's about as bad as it gets. I guess that's how it starts, though, no water. And prophet had to call. A prophet had to announce the famine.
Right. And he also changed it. You know, when God told him, he said, now the 3.5 years, now he told the servant, he said, go check and see if you can see the cloud coming. Because there hadn't been any clouds in a long time. It hadn't rained in Israel in 3.5 years. No cloud, or no rain cloud. And so he told his servants, he said, go check and see. Do you see any clouds? And so because God told him, you know, prophesy that there's coming rain. The rain's coming. And so he went and told Ahab, Ahab and Jezebel, that the rain's coming. And sure enough, it did. And it started raining again.
Wow, I'm going to have to look that up again.
Yeah, and so the thing I'm talking about is that how devastating when Joseph had that dream of keeping that storing the grain for, you know, for 7 years of prosperity or 7 years of, you know, blessing of growth and crops, and he took 5%, whatever percent he took, and he put it in grains. My dad worked at grain elevators. He managed grain elevators, and they had these huge grain elevators where they store lots of grain. That's what Joseph did. I mean, he stored grain enough that fed the whole world, man, for seven years without any food. Seven. That's a lot.
And that was Pharaoh's grain that he was had in charge of. Their crops.
It was the grain from the crops of the farmers that belonged to Egypt. Yeah, and all the Egyptians had to obey Pharaoh, right? So he said, do whatever Joseph tells you. So Joseph told the farmers that were all around Egypt, you know, for how many miles? I don't know. Probably, I don't know how big. Bunches. It had great prosperity, great crops for 7 years. And he says they took, a fifth of the grain that came in, and they stored it for 7 years. And then, it belonged to Egypt, right?
Well, that's just amazing. And I'm sure during certain times, when things are plenty, why are we even saving this stuff? Like, how long we've been doing this? Like, more of it? Come on now.
Yeah. And like the Bible even says, when the two witnesses come on the scene, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, that they're gonna pray, and it's not gonna rain for 3.5 years during their prophecy. So I think that's just gonna be in the areas that they're gonna be in, like over there. I don't know if it's gonna be happening here or not, but wherever they're gonna be prophesying at, which is a lot of it's in Israel and those areas around there, it's not gonna be raining there. It doesn't mean it's not gonna be raining in the U.S. and in Germany and I don't know where it's not gonna rain at, but it says it's not gonna rain for 3.5 years. That's gonna be pretty tough. We're gonna need a lot of food stored up, people, for that even.
Yeah, I mean, maybe God is setting up certain cities to be the storehouses, and people are getting called to those areas.
Right. I never thought about that till tonight, because when Biden became president of the United States of America, or when he was said to have won the election on November the 7th, when they announced it that day, and after I'd had God shout Joseph Biden to me and off and on for the, for a year or so, I kept saying, Trump could be the president, but, because the economy's going to recover from then, but I'm hearing another voice, and I would shout, Joseph Biden, I did that many times. So I'm at the same time, I'm going like, okay, is this really going to happen or what? And so when they announced him as having won the election, dude, I'm sitting there and I was still in bed because I was trying to rest from all this stuff, and they announced that and something exploded in my belly. And the Lord said, everything I've told you now is going to come to pass. I went, oh my God, that's the two witnesses. That's the revealing of the Antichrist. And that's the merging of the one world government. The global unity, which is what the angel told me when he spoke to me in 2005, January 11th, 2005. So, you start thinking about 3.5 years of no water, man, somebody's going to have some food somewhere. There's going to be a lot of dead people, like it was in the days of Israel when Elijah was. Even Elijah started suffering from that. He had to go to the widow's house to get, food and multiply the food in her little basket or whatever it was.
Was that you that said something a while back that it's America's job to support Israel?
No, I didn't say that. There's people that believe that Israel is going to be protected and saved by the U.S. I personally don't think it's going to be as much as some people are saying that it is, but yes, we're going to definitely help Israel. Yeah, and that word may be right. I mean, that word, that could be right. I don't think God's going to let anybody save Israel but himself, but we're definitely going to help them. We're definitely going to take, so we could very, I think, it, we could very well be supply food and water for them for 3.5 years. That could be America that, I think there'll be other countries that'll do it too, but yeah, like that very well could be it.
And we're building out this infrastructure right now, the new infrastructure bill. Everybody's building infrastructure right now. In Russia and China, they're building as fast as they can.
Infrastructure, what are you talking about specifically, just like, for people who don't understand what you're saying?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily moving natural resources around as much as it's moving electricity and the future of transportation, green energy, things like that. But that's tied in with hydroelectric power and new ways,
sure,
of if there was a famine or there was a huge natural disaster, there's alternative ways of getting power. It's kind of a race to go there. Like, people are aware that this could be a problem.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, I think we got to prepare for all that. I think one of the big things that we, and I got to move on to my next caller because I could go on with this all night long. But I think that what we've really got to pray over and believe God for, you know, Christian people to be in control of it, not Elon Musk, you know, Elon Musk. Yeah. You know, people, we need Christians who are sold after Jesus to have a control of satellites, you know, like Elon Musk does. He lives in Austin, Texas now. He's the one who got the thing set up for Ukraine to be able to communicate. He just threw up some low-lying satellites, you know, and handed them some boxes, and they had, all of a sudden they had internet, man. I mean, that just kind of blew my mind. And so, and that's actually been working. I found out it has been working. So, but I'm believing God for true Christian people, you know, hopefully, you know, will be able to do that and have the resources like Joseph did and store things and be prepared for all this stuff. Because a lot of the pre-tribulation people, they're not going to be here for it anyway, they don't think. We're not going to be here for that. What do we know to prepare for? You know what's going to happen? When we prepare because we know we're going to be going through it and they don't, what are they going to say when they're standing in line in food lines? Well, we told people, you're the one that told people that we don't need to store up food. We're not going to be here. Why do we need to worry about storing up food for? You told us we weren't going to be here. Let's get him. You know, I mean, I don't think they'll do that, but you know what I'm saying? Some of these preachers that preach that stuff, and they did no preparation, you know, because of their, I don't even want to go there because I'll get mad. I'm not going to talk about that right now. No, I'm not. I'm not going to go there, but you know what I'm saying? So I think it's a big thing that the Joseph scenario and prophetic words begin to happen because a lot of these people, most Christians, they don't care who the Antichrist is and they don't care about what's going to go on during the tribulation because they're not going to be here, according to them, which is a bunch of bull. But when it happens and they are here and they're standing in line, you know, trying to get some food, oh, well, you know, we didn't believe that we'd have to be doing this, so can you give us some food? We didn't prepare anything because we were, like, stupid. Anyway, I better stop before I get worked up and move on. Yeah.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, that whole narrative forces people to just sit on their hands, do nothing, make no plans for the future. That could be really dangerous rhetoric. You know, don't disagree, but I know it's a sensitive subject.
Yeah, it is a sensitive subject, but I'm really ticked off about it because that's what makes – see, people are saying, why do you get so upset about that, Randy? Why? Because I've heard it for years, and God made me keep my mouth shut for the most part. You'll have your time, Randy. You're going to have your time when you're going to be able to talk plainly about it. I'm going like, okay, well, I'm waiting. You know, I'm tired of this bunch of – because what angers me about it, Jeff, is the very thing we're talking about, is that people are not going to be prepared, and all these people that believe that nonsense are not going to be prepared for anything, much less the battles they're going to go through, much less having food, much less being prepared. You know, they're not going to be ready for anything. Why? Because these people told them, oh, don't worry, you're not going to be here for that. You don't need to prepare for that. You know, and that really makes me mad as a shepherd. It angers me because all these people, Jeff, are not going to be ready for anything. Oh, we're going to fly away. Yeah, not during the tribulation. You're not going anywhere. We're going to go through it with the power of God. We're going to be used by God to help Israel, to help other nations, and to have our own realm of provision, just like Joseph did, and take care of people, feed people. Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
We're going to have to connect the dots a little more on this. But I love when these prophecies come together a few years later. Now, I know it's hard for you to remember everyone for every person, but that's why it's great to document this stuff and just see how it all connects together.
Yeah, and, you know, even the latest word that I've been talking about for the last year or so, the very thing we're talking about tonight, preparation. Because when the system, as the system rises up, and we're gonna be here for that, when they rise up and take control, they're gonna take hold of their system, and they're gonna, if we don't bow down to them, they're gonna shut us off and shut off our money, and shut off our phones, and shut off our contact, and shut off our food.
You see what I'm saying? And that's what these people say. Oh, you don't want to be here for that because they're going to shut off everything. Of course, you ignorant, stupid stuff. My God, I can't believe they even talk like that. Because you know what? Though, even if you're here, you're going to get no. Because that's called preparation. When you know you're going to be here and you prepare for it, we're going to have people like Elon Musk who are going to throw up a satellite over Texas because the system people cut us off. You see, that to me was a bigger prophecy coming to pass because I've been talking about for – I didn't even know they could do that at this time. I knew they could put satellite way up, way up, way up, but just throw them out there, some low-lying satellites and have communication, phones and communication. I didn't even know that was possible, man. I did not know it. So when I heard that and I saw that, I tell you, that was to me a big prophecy coming to pass with what God is telling me to prepare for coming out from among them and having our own system. You know what I mean? That was big, man, that potential is out there. And it's already been put into action in Ukraine right now. Because the system guy, the Antichrist guy over there, he's not the Antichrist, but Putin, he cut them all cut off. He cut it all off. And they weren't ready. And here come Elon Musk saying, oh, let me just fling a couple up there and we'll get you guys back going again. I mean, that was amazing to me, man.
Yeah, I think about that, you know, there could be a time where, you know, the Amazon drone just doesn't deliver to your house anymore. You can't be getting Amazon delivery or, you know, it's not for you.
We just ordered a pizza, honey, for the football game. It's not showing up. How come? Because the system just decided to cut you off.
Right?
Oh, my God, no pizza for the game?
People would get real inventive then, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can't go to Walmart anymore. Amazon isn't showing up. You know, I mean, I think that's where they want people is to not go in stores anymore. It's just the drone won't show up to your house anymore. The delivery man is cutting you off. There is no store to go into. It's just you don't get deliveries.
Right. There you go. Yeah, yeah. Yep, something like that. All right. And you never know where we're going to go. I mean, I didn't have a clue. Jeff, I was going to talk to Jeff tonight. I didn't have a clue we're going to go there. I didn't have a clue. That all happened. This is a spontaneous show. 99% of this stuff is spontaneous. I mean, it's like we just take off and we go for 5 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour or however long we want to do it. We don't have anybody telling us, you can't do that, like I used to have. Oh, you can't talk about that. You know, I have my own meeting, but I'm having a meeting under somebody else's ministry, and they would tell me what I couldn't talk about. No, you can't talk about markets. You can't talk about – I'm going like – and I would, you know, unless I had three dreams and a vision, I'd say, okay, that's fine. I really don't care, you know. You know, that's why I want to do something like this, because I don't have somebody telling me what to do, what not to do. If you don't like what we're doing, go somewhere else. Come back later. When you grow up, I'm just kidding. I'm getting ugly, man. I'm getting aggressive. What am I doing here? I better go before I get wild and crazy. All right.
Sorry, I brought that out of you. We'll keep you posted what's going on.
Yeah, man. You know, you need to watch out when you come on the show. You need to come on the. Yeah. I'm gonna blame it all this on you. Okay. All right, you guys, let us know what's going on in Thailand. That's in May, though. This is May. That's a couple of months away. That's about a month away or so. All right, we'll be talking to you all later. Anything else you want to pray about before I move on?
That's it. We'll let you move on. We're going to have to figure out how to dial in the PGN in Thailand. We'll have to figure that one out.
Hey, that would be interesting. I would like to know myself. They have, I know they have PGN. I mean, they have Blog Talk Radio in UK because we've had in many places. You know, we have a guy from Ireland. He calls in, you know, from Ireland. And Sally used to call in from the UK, and we've had other people calling from Africa. Yeah, so that would be interesting to find out how that would work.
I just wonder how they're doing it, but maybe you can just do it through WhatsApp. We might have to wake up really early, but it'll be fun.
Yeah, that would be. I'd like to hear some Thai talking people going, Doc, why and what you one guy moves, why what are you that guy? That might have actually been something, actually.
That's beautiful. Exactly how it sounds.
Thank you.
Yeah, well.
Oh, you know what, Darren, when they did, yeah.
Well, we'll get a couple people to talk to you, and I'll bring them on the call. Say, hey, talk to Prof. Randy here.
I would love
no
that. If you can find some late nighters or early morners to do that, that'd be cool. All right, you guys, enjoyed it. Talk to you later.
Okay, talk to you. Bye.
See you later. Bye. All right. So, okay, Angie's got somebody on. She wants to pray. It's not a late nighter. So, all right, Angie, what's going on?
Hey, Randy. Guess where
hey.
I'm at?
You're in New York. Where
no,
are you?
No, I'm not in New York. I'm in Florida.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
I'm
now,
in Palatka. This is Angie calling from Palatka, Florida.
Palatka. That name kind of matches
Florida.
You.
Yeah,
Palatka,
but I have a
Palatka.
Friend here that, yeah, Palatka. Okay. You can pray for me after you
all
pray
right.
for her, but I'm going to hand you her. Yeah.
Oh, why don't you just put her on the phone instead of hand her? Okay.
Oh, hi. This is
Jody.
Hi.
Hi,
how are you?
Hi, Jody. Fine. How are you tonight? All right. Well, good to have you. We're going to pray for you, so I'm going to mute you just for a second. You're going to hear it go mute. That way I don't have any background noise, and I can just pray over you, Jody. It is Jody, right? I think you said Jody. Hopefully I said that right. All right, Jody, let's pray for you. Thank you, Jesus, for Jody. Lord, I thank you for the heart you've given her to witness the glory of God, to see. Witnessing meaning not just talking about it, but seeing it. You're seeing it, experiencing it, knowing that it's real, knowing that the glory of God is real, and that all these things you hear in the Bible, all these things you hear about the testimonies about the glory of God, the real ones are really real. And God's going to cause you to commune with him and be caught up with him to be able to see those things, because God's going to open your eyes so you can see. He's going to open your eyes so you can know. He's going to open your eyes. When Jesus was raised from the dead and everybody thought a lot of people on the road to Emmaus, these couple of guys were walking along there, and they go like, Jesus walks up right beside him. He's resurrected from the dead, right? And they're talking, and he's going like, what are you guys talking about? Jesus asked him, what are you talking about? Oh, we're talking about, we thought the guy that came with him was the Messiah, and they killed him, and he's dead, and we're all discouraged. And Jesus asked him questions like, well, what about and so he talked to him, right? And so they didn't ever even know who he was. And all of a sudden, when they broke bread together, it says suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized that it was him. Before that, they didn't have a clue who he was. But when they broke bread, Jesus broke bread with them, the Bible says, those guys on the road to Emmaus, they're suddenly their eyes were open just like that, and they realized, you're Jesus. And we didn't know, you're Jesus. Oh, my gosh. And then he disappeared, right? He just kind of went away like that. And so that's what I see God doing with you. As you learn to eat of the bread of God's word, of God's love, learn to eat the bread of reality, of the God reality, and not just human, physical, what you can see reality, but the God reality, that God's really going to, show you things that you it's maybe right there in front of your face, but you never really able to go to see it for yourself. Like they, all of a sudden, they saw that was Jesus that was talking with them, and they didn't even know it until their eyes got open. Well, I see God really opening your eyes, at different levels, at different times. Sometimes we can see to a certain degree, and God says, well, I'm going to open your eyes more so you can see more. God always has more for us to see, right? So you're a seer. God's going to show you how to see. He can open your eyes to see that when you see, you're going to be saying things like, I see reality, the heavenly reality. I see what the angels see. I see. So God's going to show you things at times that you see things you read about in the Bible. It's going to become real for you. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that she's going to sing songs, sing the songs of Zion. She's going to sing the songs of God's people. You're going to sing songs to people. You're going to sing songs to people. I don't know if you have a singing voice or not. It doesn't make any difference to God. But when you sing songs to God and to people, you know, their eyes are going to be opened up. God wants to use you to open up other people's eyes by just simply singing songs and getting people in the presence of God. So thank you, Jesus, for healing her. Thank you, Lord, for bringing the healing and deliverance to her, God, in Jesus' name, and to her family members, in Jesus' name, to the people that she's connected to, the people that she loves, people that she calls family, feels like a family. In Jesus' name, God's going to bring family people to you that are going to be family to you. All of a sudden, you're going to connect and you go, man, I've never seen you before. I don't know you, but I feel like you're my family. God's going to start bringing that to you to take away some of your, you know, loneliness. Sometimes we feel lonely not because we don't have people around us, but because we don't have the right people around us, the people that we can call family. Jesus said, my mothers and brothers are those who hear the word of God those and do it. My mothers and brothers, because his mom and his brothers were standing outside saying, you know, they said, hey, your family's here to see you. He's going, well, you don't understand. This is my family. My family is those who hear the word of God and do it. So Jesus had family, his own family, and he had his spiritual family, which were more to family to him than anybody. And God's going to start bringing you people that you can connect with, that will be some of the bread that will take you to be able to see things you've never seen before or know. Yeah, God's called you to the world to witness to the world the glory of God and what you see, like in 1 John, in John. 1 John, it says, the things that we have seen and beheld of the word of God, we beheld him ourselves, and we can declare it to you. So God's want you to declare it to those who may not believe and may not really know what's going on. All right. I'm back.
You can talk to her. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. And what is your name again? June?
Awesome.
Was it?
Jody.
Jody. Okay, Jody. Yeah, I think I get that wrong. All right, Jody, anything we can pray with you about, dear?
I'm just so overwhelmed right now, I can't think.
Oh.
That's
well, maybe that's good. I don't know. Hopefully that's good. So how do you,
thank
how do you,
you
know?
So
you're so welcome. How do you know Angie?
Oh, we've been friends since, what, 80? 88. And
88.
I moved away, and so we've had like a 20-year gap, and it's like we've just never, I've never left. And so
wow, that's cool.
We used to be in the same church, and that's how we grew a friendship. And
right,
so it was
awesome.
It's so good to see you. I'm glad she's introduced me to you. Thank you very much.
Awesome. That's beautiful. Well, I'm glad to hear that, Jody. All right, Jody, thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank right,
you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Here.
All right, bye-bye.
You don't forget me. You
okay.
Don't forget what you're going to do just one when I call to you.
Oh, yeah, of course. We love.
Of course not.
Thank
you. Yeah. On you.
All right. I'm gonna go ahead and mute you for a second because I got some background noise coming in. But thank you, Jody, for being with us tonight. Thanks for Angie for bringing her on tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for the family of God. Thank you, God, for gathering, like using her to gather together, using her to gather together, to cause people to want to gather together. You know, not just to gather together for a church meeting, but to gather together for a God meeting, for you know, connecting. For the Bible talks about when you fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. You know, so there's a whole realm about, hang on just a second here. Okay, there's that whole realm of where it says, I can't think what's that right now, but it talks about how that when we fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Let me see if I can find that. All right, maybe this will find it for me. 1 John 1:7, as we walk in the light, but if But if we walk, First John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, right, as he is in the light, not just any light, but if we walk in the light as he, the Lord, is in the light, right, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. You know, and so we're not talking about like, you know, we're just talking about, you know, God doing a cleansing work of all sin. In other words, getting around people who love God, but they may have a problem, they may have an issue, may have a sin going on. They may have a friend who's got a sin going on. They can't seem to stop it. You know, we have compassion on them, knowing that they're in bondage, right? So we get together and we have fellowship in the light. And if we do that with one another, that you're going to find that the blood of Jesus Christ is going to start cleansing people from things that they've had issues with for years. All of a sudden, it's going to be gone. But they didn't like it. They didn't want to be a part of it, but it had them. It had them. They were in bondage. And God says, I'm going to set them free. And through that creating that, opening that door for fellowship, and, yeah, so that's really cool. So something like that going on there. All right, Ange, anything else going on? What's that? You know, computer is trying to act up on me. Hold on here.
Hello?
Okay, there we go.
Hello? Are you there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I said they love me enough where they said they could keep me and I could stay with them. I could live with them if I wanted to, but I ain't going to do it to them.
Aww.
They love me.
Okay.
I love them. We've had such a great time together.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you guys have been friends for a long time, so you're going to be there for a few days or what?
Well, I can stay as long. I don't know. I told you I started on this journey, and all of a sudden, you know, we just reconnected, which we hadn't been together for, you know, seeing talked to each other in 20 years. Just
wow.
I just reconnected, and, you know, they said I could stay with them, and they'd even keep me, and I could live with them. I don't have to go home if I don't want to.
That's nice. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that would say that to me.
Well, Randy, come to Virginia then.
There you go. Okay.
Well,
thank
I'm in
you.
Florida right now. I don't know when I'm going back. You might not. You might want to hold that thought though.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, tell us where all you've been. Where you've been? You took off. Last week, I think, or something like that, and you've been kind of going around. Anything special you want to talk about, or are you just kind of like, what's up?
Well, no,
where have you been?
No, I came to Palatka, Florida, and I'm going south, but I just been able to sit here and just breathe and relax and just be loved on and love faith,
yeah.
And the family's beautiful. The children are all grown up. They got shimmy, shiny faces. They didn't get messed up in the world. They're all kind of upright, standing young folks, and they even got grandkids running around on the floor that looks like the first bunch.
Oh, my gosh. That is so awesome.
Yeah. So this is as far as I've gotten, which that's a good little stretch from Virginia to Florida.
I would say. How far is that, do you know? How far is that?
I think about 900 miles, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
900 miles. Yeah. But I've been
I had to
start and get gas and stuff,
okay.
And I've been smiling and talking to folks along the way, you know.
Yeah,
Awesome.
That's
beautiful. I've been having a good adventure. It ain't over. I feel like it should be over until God says, okay, you can go home. I ain't going home the same, I tell you that. We're going for the change of change.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome. Wow. Congratulations on that. That's really good. You stepped out of the boat and you took off man, that's you know that's going to bring blessing because it can't not be blessed.
I stepped out of the boat, right? Stepped out of the boat and walked right into a house full of love. Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
All right. I'm going to be checking in from time to time, but I'll probably stay here until Thursday and maybe go for the weekend and see what's going on down a little south, a little further south, and then come back through and hang out a little while longer. Tampa, the Howard Brown Revival is going on in Florida. I was just going to look for some revival places and, you know, sit in that anointing, that breaking anointing, wherever I can find it. I don't care if it's a meeting of three or a thousand. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, that's what I'm looking for.
I see. That's awesome, Well, you'll find
I'm
it.
I'm on a mission. Dun, 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 dun.
That's really cool. All right. Beautiful.
Well, all right.
Glad to hear from you, and we'll be looking forward to hearing more, so looking forward to it. All right, tell everybody, Jody, tell everybody we love them and appreciate it. We don't really know them, but thank them for letting us talk to them tonight. It's actually amazing. Beautiful.
Yep. Wonderful. Love you.
All right, love you too. Bye. 917-557, can I talk to you from, please? All right, 917-557. Everybody falling asleep on me already? Only not even 11 o'clock yet, my time. But your time may be different. It could be 11:50 or 12:50 or even 1:50. All right, 917-557. Are you there? Okay. I'm going to give him just a second here to try to get on. You never know. All right. I don't know who 917 is, but bless your heart. Falling asleep on me over here. We'll have to come back and try him again later. We'll try him later. Thank you. All right, on Wednesday nights I pray over you anyway, but tonight kind of different night. So let's go here. 504-376. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Yes, it's Nicole from New Orleans.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Let's pray for you. I'm going to mute you just for a second, and we'll pray for you, and then we'll come back and talk to you for a minute. All right?
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm going to mute you just for a second while I can pray for you. Give me just a minute here. Nicole, I'll be right with you. All right, Nicole, let's pray for you. Thank you, Jesus, for Nicole. And, God, I thank you for the personal relationships, God, you're bringing her into, personal relationships, where we can be personal, where you can be intimate, where you can be, you know, more than just the surface conversation, the surface thing, being able to communicate, you know, deeply and feelings and emotions and, you know, in love and compassion and that kind of thing. And God really opened you up to be able to do that and find those places more and more and more where you can, you know, have, you know, you can't do that with everybody, right? So there's a few people in our life. Jesus had John. John was very intimate with Jesus. They were deep friends. And John was a very, you know, passionate person. Desired love, the love of the Father, the love of Jesus, and Jesus, you know, provided that, and they were very close. And so there's something beautiful about that. When you find that, there may not be a bunch of people, but if we just have one where we can share our life and our love and our friendship and not be afraid to share. And I thank you, Lord, for opening that up for Nicole, God, and she has that already. Let it develop, let it be developed, let it be brought forth in Jesus' name. Cause her to, you know, not wonder any longer. Is that possible for me to have on a regular basis in a consistent way? Yes, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for increasing that. If she has any of that kind of thing now going on, that God will open it up. They can break bread together. They can share their life together and open up together in everything that they do in Jesus' name and be able to, you know, come together and be connected. You know, it's nothing like being connected. When I got connected to God, it was amazing. When I got connected with people who were connected to God and we all were connected to God together, that was even more amazing. So thank the Lord for that with her. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. All right, Nicole, what's going on tonight? How are you? What can we pray with you about?
I'm good. Thank you, Jesus. Exactly what you said.
Oh, okay.
Divine connection. Exactly what was on my heart tonight.
Oh,
you know,
awesome.
Just,
so, yeah,
yeah,
go
being
ahead.
Able to experience that. Yeah, that's something that's just been on my heart, you know, being able to experience that divine love, divine connection.
Right. Yeah, having it with God, we can have that with God, you know, in different ways, but having that with God and with people, that's even more amazing, right? That's even really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, obviously something's going on with that, and God's hearing your prayer and letting you know that he's heard your prayer and that he's, you know, he's working on that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, that was quick.
Yeah, I guess it was. That was pretty awesome. All right. Is there anything else we can pray with you about? What's going on? Yeah, go ahead.
Just the family, you know. You know, I'm currently just trying to figure out co-parenting and just, you know, just for peace and restoration with my, you know, my daughter's father, and you know that we learn to just walk in forgiveness of one another.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Without the forgiveness, it's very difficult to do that, and so yeah. That's really, really good. So God's obviously going to work, is working on that for you and your behalf, and developing that somehow or another. So praise God. That's Lord, just bring that to pass, her prayer request to have that with that person, Father. We ask you to open that up and characterize that for her in a way that she can solace and peace God about it, where she can know that she's praying and believing for the right thing, and you confirming that tonight for her, Father. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, is there anything else we can pray with you about, or anything else up that you want to talk about?
No, that was it. That was it.
All right.
Thank you so much, Andy.
You're so welcome, Nicole. God bless you, too. Thank you very much. All right, bye-bye. All right, let's go to 111. Can I talk to you, friend, please?
This is Carmen from Texas.
Hey, Carmen. All right. Carmen from Texas, the Texas girl. All right, let's pray for you. I'm going to mute you just for a second, and let's pray for you. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thanks for letting us pray with you. And we consider it an honor and a privilege to pray for God's people. I don't think we take advantage of that anyway. We really love it. We really enjoy it. And thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming on tonight and letting us, you know, minister to you. It's a privilege, really, for the body of Christ. We really believe that when we minister to the body of Christ, and this is obviously a word for you, Carmen, that where when we minister to the body of Christ and we do it in the Spirit, the word I kind of gave tonight about that, where if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, that was a big thing, Carmen, is I got this thing, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, not in our own light, not in our own understanding, not in our taking a word out of the Bible and adding a bunch of stuff to it where it ends up not being light from God, but just, you know, man took something and added to it, and pretty soon it had nothing to do with God, had nothing to do with his light, had to do with our light. That then that fellowship and that beauty of the blood of Jesus cleansing us and purifying us from all sin. Could you imagine that? All sin, friend. When we talk about all sin, we're talking about you know, when people come to Jesus, I mean, they just get cleansed of all sin. I mean, every one of them. Anything that's messing with them, anything that's bothering, anything in their DNA realm, anything in their genetic code, being cleansed and washed because of this scripture right here. Wow. I mean, I saw this tonight. I mean, somehow I'm connecting that to you too. And in the fellowship of the Spirit, in the fellowship of the light of Jesus, not just any light, but if we walk in the light as he, Yeshua, Jesus, the Holy, is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. So in other words, when we walk in that light, Carmen, and you know this already, it's nothing new to you. When we walk in the light as he, as in his light, the light of what he says, then we have fellowship one with another, even if we're not literally physically together. We have fellowship. There's a fellowship that goes on where we don't feel alone. We don't feel like we're off to ourselves. But even though we could be sitting by ourselves and be living with by ourselves, whatever, but we have that fellowship with one another brings that comforting, that gathering together, that beauty. And then the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses and purifies us from all sin. Anything that's messing with it, anything that's bothering us in that realm of light, fellowship with him, it opens us up to being cleansed by the blood, man. Wow. I don't know why I went off with that with you, but so God, I thank you for that, for using her in that way, in that realm of the light of God, the revelation of Jesus, not just our own revelation of what we think or our opinions. Opinions are fun. They are. They're fun. People can come up with all kinds of things with opinions, and opinions are, you know, they're fun, but the truth is we want the reality of the light, the revelation or the understanding that comes from Jesus about whether what's going on in the war with Russia, what's going on with the peace talks of Iran, what's going on with our government, what's going on with the globe, what's going on. When we get the light of God and not just our own light, it brings a comfort and a felt we're one with God. Hallelujah. Anyway, all right. So I don't know what all that was about exactly. I just seemed to want to preach. For some reason, you're drawing preaching out of me. So I'm blaming all that on you.
Well,
what you doing over there in Texas?
Well, I've been in a lot of prayer, especially with the type of job that I have. I just pray and do my job, praying in tongues and constantly praying. This morning when I woke up, I was like half asleep, and I just could hear the word transition. That word kept coming in, and the Lord had said other things, but I didn't get up right away, and I didn't write it down. But what I felt in my spirit when I finally woke up really well, I felt that it had something to do with the government. There's something about transition.
Oh.
I'm not sure what's going on, but
yeah.
I'm glad that you're letting people know that they have to prepare. And that's exactly what I feel in my spirit, that people have to prepare, not in fear, but prepare, prepare food, have things stored, have water, things that they wouldn't be able to have if something would happen, to have it ahead of time. But, you know, this little bit of coronavirus and all this stuff, the shutdown and everything, should be maybe a lesson to many of what they lacked when all of that was going on. And so
right.
Water is very important. Containers. I remember we had a cold front some years ago, and it was so cold that many of the houses had water pipes bust. And people were going crazy in the supermarket, Walmart, trying to buy the 5-gallon containers, and they were all out. We're not to run in fear, but also when you think of these things, think of others, because others are going to need it that are not prepared. And to, you know, in a gentle way, warn others to begin doing that because of all the things that we're seeing right now, that it would be a good idea to store, to, you know, have containers with water, have ways where they know how to cook their food, their medicines, all this stuff, to start storing, and not in fear, but, you know, the Mormons do this. They have a system already where they store things. They put the new in the back and the old in the front, and they rotate food constantly, and they have a food bank. And so I think, you know, churches need to think about that. You know, ministers that work with other ministers need to think about all of this, because I've seen a lot of lines, people picking food, you know, with this coronavirus, you know, the shutdown. I saw lines, right. And I have friends where they said that they drove by, even through Texas, and they saw churches with lines. Even after the shutdown, when they were letting everybody out, there were people going out for food. And so it would be wise to have your medicines, your peroxides, your alcohol, you know, start stocking up on all those things, and think of not only yourself, but your neighbors, the elderly that can't help themselves. You know, start rotating those foods that you're going to eat. Foods that you're going to eat. So what I've been always looking at videos and things people teach about these things for many, many years. And, you know, we have to, even now in Walmart, they have these emergency packages, boxes, and pails where you can buy for many people, you know, like with pancakes and things like that, things that won't go bad, but you have to store it right. But not with fear, but, you know, being prepared and being safe. And, you know, I think, you know, we have to do this as a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's that way of doing it. And that's always wise to have a little bit of extra something. But I think that adding to what you're saying, that what I see happening is Texas, and in places like Texas, you know,
mm-hmm.
that are obviously coming out of the system. I mean, I don't know about any other state, but this is my state, so I keep up with what's going on. And our governor has really been bringing us out of, he's talking about fighting abortion, you know, like what Trump was talking about. He's talking about, thing mm-hmm. I see doing is like where we're going to be able to, you know, produce food, not only just storing food. Because here's what I want to disconnect. People are so thinking that the system's going to cut us off and we're not going to have anything. So we better store up. Now that we do need to store up. But I want to change the thinking of the people to where, yes, mm-hmm. we store up, but I want to change the thinking of the people to where we're going to have our own system. We're not going to be cut off from food and food from stores
mm-hmm.
because there are going to be stores. There are going to be people, like Jeff was talking about, they're going to have people who are going to have their own stores. They're going to bring land. They're going to bring food in from the farms around, and they're going to have their own store. It had nothing to do with, quote, Walmart or Kroger or whatever one's going to be connected to the
mm-hmm.
system. You're going to walk in there and you can't buy anything because you don't have the chip. But what we're going to have, what God's showing me, we're going to have, Texas is going to have grocery stores, and we're going to have satellite systems that are going to be separate from the system, where it's not about just, we got to store up so we can live. That we got to do that too. But we also going to see that pair that Texas and other states are going to have their own system. They have their own phone system. We're not going to have to go have the chip and go to the store. We'll burn Walmart down. Not literally, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we don't need you. We don't need your system. We don't need you. Get out of Texas, my golly. We don't need you anymore. We got our own grocery stores. We got our own system. We don't need your, you want to run with the Antichrist and his gang? Get out of town. Go somewhere else. We don't need you anymore. We got our own growth. You see what I'm saying? So it's not just about, so what
mm-hmm.
what we have most people doing is preparing to save up stuff, because really what they're thinking in the back of their mind is that nobody's going to have any food because they're going to have all the food. That is a lie from hell. So what I'm trying to do is break that spirit of, oh, we better, you know, have, and Jim Baker, and I hate it when they do that. So selling that food, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that it's all bad. But
you know what, Randy,
they're making,
Randy,
they're making.
Every, I know what
hey,
you're
let
saying.
Me say this one, let me say this one last thing, and I'm gonna, then you can talk.
Yes.
What I want to prepare people for is a whole different mentality, where yes, we store up.
Exactly.
We're going to have our own system, just like we talked about. Elon Musk. Elon Musk is living in Austin, Texas right now. I'm not saying he's a man of God. I'm not saying he's going to be the one that's going to do this. But he has a system right now. He set up over Ukraine. He just flung up some low-lying satellites, and they got totally separated from the system of Putin when they shut them off. All of a sudden, they were able to all connect, everything. Just think if they would have been preparing and ready instead of sitting on their hands going, no, they're not going to come in here. They're not going to come in here. That's what the whole church is saying. We're not going to prepare for that. They're not going to come and get us. They're not going to take the system away from us. We're going to have our own food. So we got to prepare and understand that we're going to have to completely separate ourselves from them in every way. That when we go to the store here in Texas, we're going to have a credit card or a debit card probably, but it's going to be totally disconnected from that system where we check our credit card. We don't have to have a chip. We just do the regular thing we're doing now, and we get our food, we pay for our food, we walk out with the groceries.
Exactly.
Sorry, I get a little bit wild.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I agree with that. But what I'm saying also is that so that we are not affected, we need to prepare ourselves, even because we didn't expect this shutdown to happen where they
exactly,
had us
yeah.
all in our homes. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm
100%
in what you're saying, and I believe that God gives that intelligence to many believers, and God knows what God is doing right now, even with some believers, that He's preparing them for such a time as this. What you're saying, but at the same time, we have to be wise so that we won't be manipulated because they're controlling us with what we don't have. We need to have it. We need to store seeds and do all this other stuff while we're doing this other thing in place. That's wisdom. And I agree with you.
Sure.
But we have to be wise in all areas, in all of those areas.
I'm in agreement.
I'm not saying anything different. I'm just adding a little more to this other side because as a mother and a grandmother, I know what we went through, and even before this shutdown happened, I warned because of, God leading me. I told my daughter and my children, do this. Start, and God, thank God that they listened because they weren't affected by it.
Wow.
They weren't affected by it. And even
great.
I still have stuff that's helped me, but you have to do it with wisdom because if you don't have a plan – in place, you're going to waste money. And you don't want to waste money. You need to buy things that you're going to normally use, not things that you're not going to eat and things that, you know, it's good to have these things. And you learn other things through that, too. But I'm 100% with you about other stuff, the technology, because, they make it harder. It's really not that much harder. Like with the water, with the filtration of the water, they make that so difficult, and it's not that. But because money's always involved, they make it more difficult to pull money out of everything.
Right.
But, you know, with God, God gives, divine ideas. And I'm sure that's what we have to pray for our PGM people, that God gives them divine ideas, God ideas, so when these things start happening, they're in place.
Right. And the thing about what I'm trying to say is that, of course I'm for preparing too, in those kind of ways. No doubt about it at all. But because we could have a famine in Texas for a couple of years, so being prepared for that would be great. But my whole point is, as you understand, and I know you're agreeing with me on this, is that we start changing the mentality from, oh, what are we going to do when they cut us off from, we have to have the mark of the beast. Well, if Texas decides what it's doing right now, coming against, everything the system's doing, say we don't want nothing to do with it, we're going to have our own separate system. As an example, I'm not saying Elon Musk is going to be doing it. But let's say tomorrow, let's just, as a real, we wake up tomorrow and Joe Biden says, okay, all you people who are Christians, you know, and I know we know who you are already, we're going to cut you off. You can't go to the store and buy it. And so, you know, we're going to say, we're going to tell all the people that are connected to that system, whatever stores they are, because you go to the store and try to buy something, they say, you don't have the mark. You can't buy nothing. We're going to be like going, mm-hmm. we're going to go to the managers. We're going to say, you know what? You, whoever you are, Kroger, I'm not saying who's going to be part of it, who's not. We're going to say, y'all need to get y'all stuff and get out of town. Get out of Texas. Go somewhere else. We don't welcome you here. We don't want to be part of your system. Get your system stuff and get out, because we're going to take mm-hmm. over the store, and we're going to fill the store. We have farmers. We have people that are Christian people. They're going to start bringing in food. We're going to fill these shelves with food from farmers. And it's not even really mm-hmm. new technology. New technology is part of it, but it's not even new. It's the technology that we have right now. Like Elon Musk set up a whole satellite system, as we talked about, over Ukraine. This just happened in a couple of weeks ago. So this is not fantasy. This is not even really – this is new technology that we know about. But the main thing I'm talking about really is not even – not just having new technology like we are going to have, and you're saying – and Jeff is saying that we're going to have that too. But even with what we have now, just the fact that we separate from their system, where anybody who says a credit card has to have a chip in it for us to be able to buy from the system, we're going to tell them to get out of town. Because Texas – the governor of Texas and the people governing Texas would say, nuh-uh, we're not going to have any of that. If you can't set it up where Christians can buy without having to have that chip in their hand, then get out of town. We don't want you here. We're gonna run you out of town. We love you, but get out, because we don't have anything to do with that mm-hmm. system. And that's what I see happening across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
Across the globe. It may not be a whole bunch, but we're going to produce food and everything, technology. We're going to be able to they just took down in Norway, let's say Norway is an example. Norway calls Texas and said, hey, they just shut us down. The system came in and said, if you don't have the mark of the beast, you can't buy anything. And we don't, and we're the governors. We own this place. We run this place. And they're coming in. They're everywhere. What do? And they're going to say, well, we're going to help you run them out of town, and we're going to help set you up. We're going to get a satellite system for you. We're going to get a communication system for you. We're going to send debit cards and Christian credit cards where people can now buy without the chip, because we have a system set up. See, this system's already here. It's not something that's going to have to even really be new. It's already done. It's just going to have mm-hmm. to separate itself from the system, and then it'll function.
Well, yeah, in agreement to what you're saying, it's true. There's these systems already in place. There's things already that are operating even in some parts of the world. I was watching one day something about India. They wanted to help the people that were poor, and they were able to install in their roof, like of their little houses, like a light bulb with a solar thing on top, and they had light in their house. And
oh, really?
It was free. Yeah, it was free. So
there you go.
I'm like, I understand what you're saying. I get it, because I love all this stuff of technology, and I love, you know, when things aren't as hard as they make it out to be, and you're like, wow, so we're here being, you know, used by all these people and making us give them money when it could be free. Just pay it one time and it's free. And it wasn't expensive to give each one of them that little thing. I wish I could find the video. If I find it, I'll send it to you. But I understand what you're saying. And that's fear-free, because if you know that you have all this in place, you're not under nobody's control. They can't control you do what they want you to do. You right? So I get it. I get it, Professor Randy.
I know you do.
Yeah, all that technology and all that stuff, because I watch it myself, and I'm like, ooh, I wish I could get my hands on something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So I know that God gives God ideas. Imagine if the world has that kind of thinking, imagine those that are that belong to Christ and can be inspired by God to do these things. Oh, my goodness, you know?
I know.
One word from God changes everything.
Yeah, that's right.
So I get it. I'm even getting excited about it.
I know, me too.
But yeah, we do have to prepare.
We do.
We
don't throw any baby. We don't throw anything out with the bathwater. We don't throw anything out. We believe all that's wisdom, and it's all incorporated together. Of course, I mean, there's no question with me about that, and I know you know that. And so what we're doing is that we're going to be very – so what's going to happen? We got ourselves stocked up with stuff, you know, in case the water gets – you know, say some water gets ruined or something, we have water. But then, you know, at the same time, you know, if we are not connected to that system where they can shut – because that's what they did in Ukraine. They shut down the – they, you know how they're conquering the cities? They're shutting down their water, and they're shutting down their ability to get food. That's how they're going to take mm-hmm. – that's how Putin is doing this. So if we have it set up already and we're – see, here's the thing that really made me angry about how that Ukraine is exactly what's going on with the body of Christ. They're, oh, no, he will never come in. Yeah, I know he's sitting right there in there. And they ain't never going to come in. And they didn't even believe he was ever going to come in. It was a lie. They believed a lie, just like the Christians believe, oh, we don't need to prepare. Mm-hmm. A lot of them say, we're not going to be here anyway. But even so, it ain't going to happen to us because we're believers. No way. And the same that Ukraine was the perfect example of what I've been trying to tell people for years of what's going on, that people say, oh, no, that ain't going to happen. Oh, no, that merchandising will never be dealt with. Oh, yes, it will. It will. Believe me, it's on the way. And there's a lot more I'm talking about, too. And so what's happening is that as we prepare and we do these things, and Christian, like you're talking about, I love what you just said, Christian young people and Christian people who come up with these inventive ideas, just think what God will do when Texas or wherever else there's Christians around the globe mm-hmm. come up with all these amazing ideas on how to, like you're saying, go from spending $50 a month on having to have something that they say you got to have, to come with a little light bulb that completely is free and changes everything, you know, and these, mm-hmm. all these Christian people come up with this, like you're saying, technology where, you know, we don't have to be in bondage to anybody. And that's where I think that we haven't been preparing, because most people think only one terminology, one thought process of what's going to go on the end times. We better save up food and for ourselves and for our neighbors. We better be saving it for that, because that's going to be the only thing we're going to have. That is not true with what God is showing me. And I know you're not saying that, and I'm not saying, but this is people selling end time food, you know, and they're selling you what they're doing is they're preaching the fear message, saying that system's going to cut us off. So we better have all the food we need for 7 years. Because if we don't have it, we're all going to die. And I'm going like, why do you listen to that lie? That's not going to happen. Yes, be prepared, have extra food, store up some food, store up some water, store up everything, whatever. Do it all. Do everything. But when Texas and people like Texas and other states around the globe do like Texas is doing, we separate from the system, how can they cut us off from food when all we do is grow our own food? They can't stop us from growing food here. We're going to have our own military. We're going to have airplanes. They try to come in and bomb us. We're gonna have satellite. We're gonna have all the technology that when they try to come over here and bomb us, we're gonna have those things like Israel has, where they shoot them down before they ever come. And people are acting like, oh no, mm-hmm. the system's gonna take over the world. What are we gonna do now? Wake up, y'all! Wake up. We got technology.
Yeah.
We got people with some brains, and we got people that understand we're gonna be here for this stuff. So they're prepared for it. While you other goofballs out there are starting to go, well, we don't need to know about that because we ain't going to be here anyway. And we're going to be like Ukraine, and except we're going to be right, they're going to be wrong, and we're going to be caught with our armor down. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen to you. And it's going to be sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it takes time, and we need to pray for these young people so that God will put them in their places where they're going to be strategically used. And talking about the food, we all know about these companies that I'm not going to mention which ones they are. I know many people know who they are, but they tainted the seed and the DNA and the seeds and all that stuff. Well, there's this one lady from India that has stored many houses in cool places where they have organic seed. So if something should happen, they have these organic seeds that are not tainted by all of that. And they continue reproducing them in fields. Yeah, but they're careful. Many years ago, this one company went over there and they were doing those experimental seeds and all this stuff. And they fought back because what was happening was that these seeds would, they would grow up to a certain place, bear their fruit, and then they would die. That's how bad they were tampering with the DNA of the seed in order for the people to go back again and purchase more seeds. The seed reproduces and it goes on and on and on. It doesn't die out. So they were trying to have a control of the seeds, because if they had control of the seeds, they would go back to them and they had control of the food.
Everything.
You know, all the food. Yeah, everything. So
that's really good.
You know, people in India are doing that. There's here in the U.S. There, that's why you see the sales of organic seeds. The heirlooms are supposed to be even better. Every system has its difficulties that we have to look into and see what's best from that, and to bring it back to where it's God's way of doing things, not the way the world system has it. So, I mean, it's not just one thing. It's everything. It's all these systems.
You know, when you think about what you just said, I had never put that together, but you know, they've been doing that. They've been messing with the seeds, trying to make them better, make them get, whether they're not in the image of God anymore, whether they're doing their own thing with them. But just, you've got to think about that. They're doing the same thing with our genes. They're going to do the same thing with our genetic code, right? They're going to be adding to and making people into something that they're not supposed to be, and to keep that pure seed is really important.
Well, did you hear about the scientists in California that are trying to invent plants that have the vaccine in them?
The plants?
Did you hear about in plants? No. Like, and they'll tell you, oh, well, eat your veggies, and that way you get vaccinated. It's in California. Scientists that they're working
on
that. There's so many things that are coming out that I'm like, oh my God, this is all crazy. That's why we have, we really gotta start thinking about these things. Becoming, if you're gonna be a farmer, become a farmer now and do it God's way.
Yeah, exactly. And training and retraining these people. You know, that's in my DNA is farming. I mean, I love farming. My dad was a big farmer, and I say a big farmer. You know, he was a farmer, and so he loved it. He was really good at it. He would let certain acreage rest, like you're supposed to in the Bible. Like the Bible says, let the land rest. And my dad would. I said, Dad, how come we're not
every 7 years?
We got the weeds going up there. I said, how come you're not using that land? You know, and I didn't know anything about. Even though I was saved and knew a little bit about the Bible, he would say, that's just better for it. He didn't explain to me the Word of God said that. He just said, yeah, because he knew. He was raised by Christians. Mm-hmm. He said, that's just what's good for it. It's good to let it rest. And I'm going like, wow, that's interesting. Why is he doing that? And now I know it's in the Bible. You know, so. Now, Carmen, think about this. Think about this for a moment. This is another thing God's been putting in my mind, in my heart, to talk about, to get people to prepare. Just think if when Pharaoh had the dream about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of drought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just think about this. Think if nobody could interpret that dream, right? He got mad. He's going to kill them all. Mm-hmm. He said, I need somebody to interpret. So they got Joseph in there. And just think, Carmen, if Joseph hadn't have been called out from the prison and interpreted that dream, because you know what that interpretation of that dream did? When Joseph told Pharaoh what it meant, he said, you're going to have 7 years of plenty and you're going to have 7 years of famine. It's going to be really, really bad. He said, this is what, and he interpreted a dream. So he says, and Joseph said, choose you a person that will manage it. Of course, Pharaoh being a smart person going like, well, this guy heard my dream. He's the guy that needs to do this. Just think if Joseph hadn't have done that. they wouldn't have stored up, if they hadn't interpreted the dream and said we're in 7 years of plenty, if they hadn't have stored up like 5% from each, you know, each person that produced, every farmer that produced, they took 5% of that seed and they stored it. Just think what have happened to maybe some of y'all's grandmas and y'all's uncles and brothers and sisters around the globe. Mm-hmm. Had Joseph not done that and stored that grain up, that when even mm-hmm. his own brothers come, they would have all died, because people were, a 7-year famine is like no water, no nothing. A 7-year famine, that's devastating. Just think if Joseph, here's my word I want to say, just think if Joseph had not got the word to prepare with the plenty so that when it became bad, they were ready for it. So that right there, what you're talking about, storing food, that is storing food right there.
Mhm. Mhm. Store your seeds, your organic seeds, make sure they're organic. You know, there's different levels, different systems. So, you know, God gives wisdom to certain people for the farming. Some God gives with technology, with medicine. There's different areas that God gives wisdom to, but we have to pray for all these people so that God will, you know, start using them.
Yeah.
We'll so that they can connect it the right way.
Right. And we're starting to see some of that happen.
But we do have to prepare.
Yeah, we got to prepare.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We got to do all of it. We can't just say, oh, just store up food. Most of that is done from, and I'm not saying this is what you're saying, but most people that are saying that are saying that because of fear that the system's going to cut them off, and they're going to go to the store and not be able, they're going to run their car, and they're going, well, you must take the mark before you can buy any food from Walmart or whatever it is. And you're going to like mm-hmm. go, oh my God, I'm going to starve to death. So people who think like that, which I think is totally ignorant, and they're not looking at the Word of God and looking at the whole Word of God to see what really is going to go on, that they're not going to be prepared for that. But if we start preparing like Joseph prepared, because he interpreted the time, here's what we need. Here's what God's going to do with the prophet. We have a lot of prophets who are not preparing for they don't have prepare for the times word. They don't have it. We need Joseph prophets who are telling the people and actually doing something about it to prepare for the time that we are going to come in. So we separate ourselves with our own system, mm-hmm. with our own stores, with our own farming, with it, you know, if Texas by itself could produce enough food to take care of the world. I mean, we could be the Joseph of the land, so to speak. But
wow,
yeah, we could be, because Texas, you know, has a lot of farmers. I mean, I was raised in Texas in farming, you know, in cattle and horses and that kind of thing.
Land.
Yeah. So seriously, just think about if we had California, Florida, you know, what we could grow there, what could happen there, what can happen here. We get our own satellite systems, just like it's already proven that it's out there and that it can be flung up in a few minutes. That's what blew my mind. They flung those low-flying satellites up in a few minutes. I mean, it was like mm-hmm. mind-boggling. And I've been talking about this for at least a year or 2 years of how we need to get ready and have our own system to separate from the system. I've been talking about this for a while. And so it's that we can do it. We can do it. We're going to do it, and we're going to be ready. And all these non-Joseph prophets who are saying, we need to pray for them that that God will shut their mouths and that we'll be able to feed the sheep true shepherd's message, a true Joseph shepherd's message to start preparing, start getting ready.
And you're not talking about something that's not doable. It's already been done. I remember years ago when flipping through channels, I remember the TBN, they had flown satellites in the air, and they were asking for money to put that up, and they got to do it. So it's
exactly.
not that it's not doable. It is doable.
Right.
It's already been done. Yeah.
Right, right.
So we have to get more organized, do more of that. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, more money. We need more money. You know, I guess whatever we need to do it, maybe we can make them cheaper. That's what I like about Donald Trump. Donald said, you know, they're trying to get us to spend $5 billion on building this airplane. I can do it for $1 billion. you know, he was really good at, you know, at least talking about that, where he could get things cheaper, because they're always trying to pad their pockets, you know. And so, you know, this whole thing about, you know, like what you're talking about, pad their pockets. When we can find out, we can build a house for, you know, $25,000. They want to charge us, you know, $250,000 to build. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh my God, come on, Jesus, help us with that.
But that's why.
So this is the message that we want
to.
Yeah, this is the message
that
we want to begin to push. We want
to
begin to push the message of the Word of God that talks about, let's quit trying to prepare out of fear. And those people who say we're not even going to be here, they're going to be like Ukraine. They're going to be caught with their armor down, and they're going to be going like, and they may fight a good fight, but it's going to be too late, because you know why? They didn't prepare.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, we have to use wisdom so that we will have more money in our pocket, so that we'll be able to give when it's time to give, to have those things in place. Like the Lord showed me that I needed to hurry up and pay my home, right? And then when I found out that having a mortgage, you're really paying for your house like 4 or 5, even up to 6 times over. And I'm like, what? I'm giving – when I could have that money ahead of time and pay for the house and not have to pay all those years and give the bank – that the house that many times over, I was mad. I was mad, and I said no. So the Lord, I kept putting into it, and I cut it down in half. I cut it down in half, and I paid off. I paid it right. So what happens? Then you have extra money to give. For the kingdom of God, and it goes in the right place. But do you see what I'm trying to say? Yeah. I know what you're saying, Prophet Randy, about what's coming up, but we need to be good stewards right now with what we have right now, and be prepared right now so we'll be able to be better givers in the future.
Yeah, we're preparing.
You see what I'm saying?
Because
you're
going
to have your money freed up in the, you know, to do these things. But if you're tied up in debt and credit cards and all this other stuff, you're not being a good steward to be able to give later on.
Right, yeah.
See what
preparing
I'm saying?
Preparing is thinking. When I say preparing, I'm saying preparing is thinking right now about the future, not doing it in the future. Preparing is preparing. Joseph started preparing when the first year of the grain that was, you know, the prosperity of that, he started doing it right away. He didn't wait till, you know, halfway through or 7 years later.
Right.
He did it. He started right then, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying preparation is waking up to, let's do it now. Let's don't wait till later.
Exactly.
Let's do it now. That's what preparation is.
Yeah.
Preparation isn't waiting. I'm not saying waiting. But anyway, so
yeah,
really awesome. All right.
Yeah.
I think we talked that out pretty good. It was pretty good. Some pretty good thinking. I love it.
All right.
All right. Anything we
all
can
right.
pray about? Talk anything else?
I'm just I'm just needing a different job because I got to give you a little bit of wisdom here. I went to the doctors. I went for my annual checkup and all that, and I'm really good in everything. But I mentioned to the nurse that I work at night, and she mentioned something as to, oh, well, you know, working nights, it opens people to getting diabetes. And I said, I don't receive that. But I was like, maybe she didn't take care of herself, I thought to myself. So I go in online, and I'm checking all this information, and sure enough, there's studies that show that working night shifts, especially those that are constantly changing, it's not good for your body, and it allows the body to open itself up to diseases like diabetes and things like that. And I was like, oh, wow. And so I'm not sure if it has anything to do with lack of vitamin D and things like that, which I already do take, and I do take my vitamins and all this other stuff. But, I mean, it's not meant for people to be sleeping during the day and working at night. So I'm asking the Lord to give me an earlier hour, because this is rough. It is really rough, and the night hours get really cold. And It's rough. It's rough on the body.
So I'm asking the Lord to give me something or other.
All right. Awesome. Yeah, let's do that. Enjoyed it. Preparation, man, all the way. We don't throw out anything. Prepare for everything. All right, let's. I'm going to meet you there for a second, or for the night. We'll pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Jesus, for that, for opening up that place and give. You know, as you give her the wisdom on how to, you know, even though she gets a job for doing working at a different hour, to give her wisdom on how to help people who work at night. I mean, there's got to be some kind of something there to, you know, to turn that around, because we have people that, I mean, how? What are you going to? What are they going to tell people when you have warriors who have to stay up all night and guard? You're all going to die of diabetes, or not die of diabetes, but you know. So you're all going to because you have to stay up night and watch for our country, be watching on the wall. I don't think so. I don't know. I'm not saying that there's not truth to that, but I'm sure there is. But at the same time, maybe there's also an answer for it, because there has to be somebody staying awake at night to do stuff, right? And we can't just all. There's going to be somebody out there doing it, even if it's not us. You know, so I wouldn't want to work all night long. That's for sure. I work till 11, 12, 1 o'clock, and then I'm going okay. So anyway, so whatever the answer is, you know, we thank you, Jesus, for giving us God answers. That we fellowship in the light, as you're in the light, Lord, as your light shines, and give Carmen wisdom on how to, even if she does work another shift at another time, to help people who have to be, as one example, the warriors who have to be up all night long, you know, guarding the post and seeing if the enemy's coming to get them. I mean, can we just tell them, oh, they're going to die of diabetes, or are they going to get diabetes? And I don't know. I don't have to pray about that one, but I'm not saying it's just not, you know, stuff out there saying it, but what's causing that? How come that's doing it? Yeah, so we got to know. There's watchmen on the wall that can't all be totally, there's got to be some kind of way to counteract that. So maybe God's going to show you stuff about that. Getting off on all this stuff. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for showing Karma, giving her wisdom, God, what she needs to do, and the job you want her to have, God. Maybe you're just going to move her on to something better. And I think working at night, I wouldn't want to work at night all night long. I did that. I worked security years ago. I didn't like it at all. It just changes the way you feel, you know. It messes up. It messes you up. I think you have to be born for that stuff. I don't think I was born for that stuff. Anyway, maybe you're not either. So, hallelujah. If you're not born for it, then you don't need to be doing it. So I thank you, Jesus, for those who are born for it. If we can come up with answers to help them, and those who are not born for it will have their jobs like they're supposed to have during the day, or at least a different shift in Jesus' name. So open that up, God. Present that before her and let her be able to choose what she wants and how she wants to do it. Yeah, amen. All right. Thank you, Carmen. All right, let's go here to, I think this is Nicole from D.C., 202-72. Are you there?
Hey, Randy, I'm here.
Hey, you got your tribulation food out, or what are you doing over there?
I'm listening to you and Nicole from New Orleans.
Well, do you have any opinions or any words from the Lord to comfort us in all this?
I don't. I don't have a word from the Lord.
Oh, my
I
God.
I can tell you what I'm doing.
I can't believe we get the woman of God on here that's talking about the Book of Revelation. She can't give us any wisdom on. Oh my gosh!
I lied on. I can tell you what the Lord is showing me about the Book of Revelation, but I don't specifically have a word of comfort. I don't.
I guess. Okay,
I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I don't have one either. So we'll have to get somebody to wake up on that and help us out a little bit on that. So what do you think is going on? What are you thinking about tonight? What's got you stirred up? Anything?
You were talking about Joseph, and that had me stirred up. And him interpreting Pharaoh's dreams. And
Cool. Okay, tell me what you're thinking about it. Like what?
We talked about it before, but I'm going back to Barack Obama's dream. And you sharing that the Lord has shown you that you will be here at the time of the two witnesses.
Right.
And I believe Barack Obama's dream that was a God dream shows that he will be here at the time when Germany goes from being what he experiences as a benign, friendly nation doing good in the world to being something that he doesn't recognize, something that is awful and terrible.
Antichristy.
Yes.
Wow. So how does that fit into the Joseph thing? The kind of just the preparing of that and the what are you talking about that?
My thought is when Pharaoh had those two dreams, he was so troubled, he wasn't able to interpret them. Barack Obama seemed very troubled by his dreams. That dream, I don't know if he had more than one, and he doesn't share an interpretation of it in the book. And I'm not aware that he has an interpretation of it. That doesn't mean maybe he does. Maybe he does.
Right.
I don't know.
But
if I ever had a chance to talk to him, I'd tell him about the dream. So he had a dream. Yeah, of course. I'm happy to do that. He had a dream that he wrote about in his book. And in the dream, he is walking along a path. And then as he's walking along the path, he sees the day turn to night. And then he hears the sound of a leopard. He specifically says a leopard behind him. He's running and panting. He comes to a clearing, and he falls to his knees. And then he hears a loud voice, and he sees a giant with a mask on, and the giant says in a thunderous voice, "It is time."
Wow. That's mind-boggling just listening to that.
Yeah.
So the leopard is Germany, right? We kind of know that through Scripture and through what other people have found, you know, the different creatures that represent different nations. So we're talking about Germany. And why would he – so did he have that before he became president, after,
yes.
Or do you remember?
Before.
Wow. So I see what you're saying. It's kind of like Joseph having that dream. I mean, Pharaoh having that dream before it happened, basically. Is that
right.
What you're saying?
Right. Yeah. And I think that like Pharaoh, the dream has troubled Barack Obama. That's why he remembered it. That's why it stayed with him for years and years. And why, of all the dreams that maybe he had and recalled, he specifically chose to write about that one in his book.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when something's unresolved, you hang on to it because you need that resolution. You need God to give you the meaning of a God dream to unlock it for you.
Right. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. So maybe we need to pray that God unlocks that, you know, the specific details. Like, you know, when Pharaoh had his dream, he was very troubled about it, kept him up at night because he knew it was important and God didn't let him rest about it. And then, but the thing is that, you know, that his crew, you know, the magicians and all those guys, that they couldn't interpret it. Anything they tried to interpret, he just either went, "No, that's not right. I know that's not right." Or, you know, they just couldn't get anything. So, and then Joseph came along, and Joseph very clearly interpreted it very specifically and very detailed, and therefore gave answers of how to, you know, save the people from dying of a 7-year famine. Right? I mean, that's kind of...
Right. Yeah.
So
which is amazing.
That would do, but, yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that was amazing that God gave him the interpretation, and Pharaoh being humble enough to recognize, hey, God hasn't given me this wisdom, yet he's given it to this man. Let me appoint him as a leader to benefit myself and the people.
Right, a jailhouse guy. The guy was a jailhouse guy. He'd been in jail. Pharaoh didn't know whether he was innocent or not. He's in prison. They all act like they're innocent. No, no, I didn't do that. It's kind of like, so how is he to know? But I guess when he interpreted the dream, he like goes, I don't know what you did or didn't do, but who cares, man? Come on and take over. And to take somebody out of prison who was accused of things and then put him in charge of everything, that's just like, you have to be a lunatic, that or a God divine appointment. One or the other.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
I love what you said about, you know, us not being in fear, but being in preparation. When Joseph interpreted the dream and said, well, they're going to be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine, his response wasn't fear. So, you know, God's the same, as you've been saying, yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God of solutions.
Right. The solution boy showed up, man. Joseph just showed up with solutions, man. That was amazing. And the cool thing about it is that Pharaoh recognized it as amazing and then put him in charge. I mean, that guy had to be one smart guy. Or it was a God, we know, a God divine appointment. But, man, that was amazing. So I really feel like that somehow or another God's going to give us stuff to prepare for, you know, this thing, where there's food, where there's, because what happened with the pre-trib people, as you probably well know, I know it very, very well because I've dealt with them since I was first got saved in 1973. I haven't dealt with them that long. I mean, I didn't believe in a pre-trib rapture ever. Never. I tried to. I wanted to, but I just couldn't find it in Scripture. So I've never believed in that. So when I talked to my friends who were believed in it strong, they made me feel like I was a heathen and a devil believing in that, you know. And I said, man, so I've been attacked by this stuff for years. So when God said, I'm going to give you your time, so now is my time, and I'm not hiding anything or holding back anything now, that, you know, because what they do is they present it to the whole body of Christ, to where they're, when you hear people talk about, you know, the tribulation time, they're talking about, it doesn't matter what you do. You can't have food. And every preacher that I know of who preaches pre-trib rapture, including David Jeremiah, who I love dearly, except for this one thing he does, and John Hagee, you know, and all the other ones, they teach it, and they will tell you right, and I heard him say it many, many times, if you're going to be here for the tribulation, get ready, because you're either going to starve to death or going to chop your head off. That's the two options they give you. I'm going like, what a lie from hell, man, from coming out of these precious people's mouth. That, you know, so they tell people, oh, if you're going to be here for that. So they don't even consider the Joseph. They don't even consider that the word of God, what happened in Egypt. They don't even consider that. It's like this really special time in history where, you know, nothing else is ever. So they totally throw out the rest of the Bible, Nicole, as you know, to have this special interpretation about this, that God's not going to take care of us and that kind of thing. God's not going to be able to supply to us, although he's going to supply the woman in Israel, the woman that's going to the wilderness for 3.5 years, which is the great tribulation, the 144 witnesses, much less all the other people that are going to be hanging around. You know, they just totally ignore those people. I can't even believe it.
Yeah. You know, I can just say, yes, it's very clear when you're in the book of Revelation that we are going to be here for the great tribulation. So, you know, it's one of those things where you have to see what God is saying, not what we wish God was saying.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, when I started seeing it, I want to be here for it. When you see what's really going to go on, you don't oh, oh my God, no, we're going to be here. You know, there are going to be people that are going to die. It's going to be the book of Acts. I tell people the best way to look at the Great Tribulation time is like, look at what happened in the book of Acts. I'm not going to sit here and tell people, no, everybody's going to live. Nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to get their head chopped off. I'm not saying that. I've never said that. I've always said, go to the book of Acts and read. Everybody says, we want the book of Acts, man. God, we're going to believe for revival like the book of Acts. I'm going like, are you sure? Because they got their heads chopped off in the book of Acts. They did get their heads chopped off. It did happen. They did kill the apostles. And some Christians died. Are you sure that's what you want? No, all they want is healings and miracles. They only look at the healings and miracles part. But the true process, I believe, that's going to be for the great is read the book of Acts and see what's going on. They had a religious group, the Jews who hadn't believed that Christ was the Messiah, that Paul the Apostle was doing that before he became Paul. He was killing Christians. They're going to be killing Christians, y'all. It's going to happen. Sorry, it's going to happen. Is it going to be you? I hope not. Is it going to be me? Well, eventually, yeah, but you know what? You know, when you see it the way God's going to show you, you're going to go, man, I pray to God I'll be privileged enough to go through this and either get my head chopped off, like some people are going to get their head chopped off. It is going to happen. They're going to get killed. Or they're going to live through the whole thing and enter into the millennium with Christ Jesus. They're going to have a whole bunch of people doing that. But they don't teach that.
No.
They put fear on people.
No. You know what? Yeah, that's exactly right. And another thing I'd love to hear more teaching on, and which I've really been motivated to talk about here on PGN, is the fact that God's best for us is to be in three parts, body, spirit, and soul, with an incorruptible body. And his best for us is not heaven where he is right now, but us being with him on the earth. And that's in our future. We're going to be on a new earth. God says, behold, there's a new heavens and new earth. And he's going to relocate from heaven, that physical location, wherever that is, and bring his throne and the new Jerusalem and put that here on the new earth. And, you know, we're going to be doing exciting things. And the earth is going to exist for eternity and eternities. And, I'll pause there. I don't want to get on a rant. But sometimes I feel like we think that, Satan was just so powerful and he ruined everything, and the best that we can do is just try to live a good life. And, you know, then when we get to heaven, there'll be no sadness, there'll be no war, there'll be no this, and everything will be peaceful. And it's like, wait a minute, heaven's not always a place of peace. There's a war that's going to happen in heaven. And when that war happens and Michael and the angels he's in charge of, when they defeat Satan and then Satan's banished to the earth, the people in heaven rejoice. And then they tell us in the book of Revelation, but woe to you who are on the earth, because now Satan's where you are.
Yeah.
So
right. In other words, he's going to be really mad.
Yeah. And then another thing that's happening in heaven is that time is happening, and those people before us who lost their life due to their testimony of Jesus Christ, they're saying, Lord, how much longer till you avenge us? We've been waiting a while.
Yeah.
Did he tell
they killed
them,
us, now you're going to take care of it.
Yeah. And when is this happening? Like, how much longer? And he tells them, be patient, it's just a little while longer. So, you know, we're all, I believe, based on my feelings, but based on what I see in Scripture, we're all looking forward to the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, to the Antichrist being put down, to Satan being bound to 4,000 years, and then ultimately Satan being consumed in a fire at the end of the millennial reign. And then all of us living, those who are in Christ in our incorruptible body on the new heaven and new earth, as God had in Genesis, we're body, spirit, and soul. We have our incorruptible body. We'll never be able to be sick. We'll never have hair discoloration. Cancer can never take us out. We'll never be beyond being physically fit. We'll never be in decline, the curse you were talking about earlier, how we don't even really know what excellent fruit and vegetables look and taste like, because the world is in such a fallen state that we've never truly experienced it yet.
Yeah.
But we will. We will.
Right. You know, one of the things I think about is that when we're talking about the second coming of Christ, what's going to happen in the second coming? He's going to download everything in heaven on the earth. I mean, they're going to come with him when he comes to the earth. They're coming with him. They're not going to stay in heaven and go, okay, y'all have fun down there. No, they're coming down with him. They're coming to the earth with him. So what are we going to do with all those people? Because there's going to be multiple. This is one thing I think about. We've talked about this before a little bit. What are we going to do with those multiple millions and millions and millions of people? Where are they going to stay at?
Right,
they
right.
They can stay at my house because I ain't got enough room for all them people, you know. They're going to be staying somewhere. So what are they going to do? There's got to be some kind of provision, some kind of something, you know, where they're going to – I don't know. I mean, I really don't know because Scripture doesn't make it clear. But so, in other words, everybody's trying to get to heaven, you know, instead of understanding, yes, when you die before the second coming, go to heaven is an amazing experience, no doubt about it. But the greater experience is going to be the second coming when he comes, and all those people, what's going to happen to their mansions that we talk about all the time? Maybe those mansions are going to be dropped down here on the earth on some property. Maybe that's going to happen. I don't know, but it's going to be amazing to watch. It's going to be amazing to watch. I don't know. It doesn't say that he's going to dump all the. I use the word dump just for whatever reason, but you know, download all the everything in heaven on earth. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But everybody's always talking, Let's go to heaven. You know, and that's a great thing. But the greater thing, Jesus says, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth. When he comes to earth, he's going to bring everybody with him. They're all going to be here with us. And he considers that to be even more awesome.
That's right. That's even more awesome than being in what I'm thinking of as old heaven. In other words, is where heaven is presently. But when God creates the new heavens and new earth, right, then we'll say, oh, that was old heaven. Now the new heaven is here on earth with us. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the ultimate, and that's the ultimate goal. My whole point about all this is that's the ultimate goal. I mean, because people make the ultimate goal, let's evangelize the world to get people to heaven. Well, I know what they mean, and they mean well by it. Of course they mean well by it. I'm an evangelist myself. You know, I populated heaven with a few people myself, you know, or at least. But the thing that we need to focus on is not to get people to heaven, to way up there in heaven, wherever heaven's at, but to get them connected to God, which is heaven, heaven on earth, you know, in a sense. It's not really heaven on earth, but it's heaven coming to earth in them, and eventually heaven's going to come to earth, you know, eventually anyway. So it's like our goal should be, let's not just try to get people to heaven. Let's start changing our mentality. Let's get them saved and born again so that they, if they do die early, they'll go to heaven. But let's get them, you know, get them ready for the glory of God, man. And so.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. You know, our enemy, the last enemy is death. I really didn't face that until my best friend died in front of me, and I saw how humiliating it is to die, like how it's not glorious, it's not beautiful, it's not triumphant, Jesus came and died on the cross so that we could be in right standing with the Lord, so that we can avoid the second death, so we can get an incorruptible body that will never die, so that we could live body, yeah, spirit, and soul on a new earth. It's nothing, yeah, more important than making sure that you signed up to get your incorruptible body, that you've committed to do what you need to do to receive,
yeah,
Jesus. Yeah. So that you'll be on the new earth. So you won't be disembodied permanently.
Yeah. Yeah, and being a burning hell for all eternity. I mean, that's what we don't want people to do. But we,
yeah,
also need to change our mentality, the fact that, you know, according to Jesus, he's not just trying to get everybody into the heaven, like, we all go to heaven and all that. And of course, we're all going to go to heaven, and it's going to be amazing when people die and go to heaven. People think I'm trying to say, you don't believe in heaven? Of course I do. If I died right now, I'd go be, I don't know what my mansion would look like. I don't know if I'd live it in the mountains or where I'd live in heaven. I don't know. But whatever it be, it'd be really awesome. But I'm more focused on, you know, let's start thinking differently. What Jesus was saying when he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Start focusing on that, and wake up to the reality of what God really wants us to do, and that is to fulfill his will on the earth. And so when we say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus," he's going to come, and he's going to dump everything that's in heaven on the earth. So we're like going,
yeah,
we focus all of our attention on trying to get to heaven and talking to people about our mansions up there and how God's going to have it for you. Yes, he does, and yes, he will. Yes, it is. But that's not the ultimate. The ultimate is that heavenly thing's going to come to the earth, man. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing. I love when you called heaven a storage tank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know why? Because,
yeah,
that communicates, right, that it's something, where it is currently is temporary, and that's not the you know, you don't leave stuff in storage. You put it in there to keep it safe, and then when you have where it needs to go, or you're at the place where you can bring it, then you take it out of storage.
Yeah, let's give people the scripture of that you're talking about. It says, everybody knows what it says. It says, lay not up treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. And it talks about, so storage, it talks about storing things, you know, so in other words, everything you're storing up, stored up in the heaven, you know. And so like you said, when it's stored, when heaven is looked at the way it really is, as a storage tank, it's the most amazing storage tank place you've ever seen. It is, it has mansions, it's got flowers, it's got mountains. But you know, and you look at the ultimate scripture, it is a storage place, because God's going to eventually take the storage place and dump it all on the earth. So it really does change the way we look at it. And we never want to downgrade, you know, when our loved ones, my mom and dad have gone to be with Jesus. I mean, you know, it's amazing. And being in heaven with them would be amazing. But you know what? Eventually, if I'm alive on the earth, they're going to come to the earth, and they're going to, hey, Randy, good to see you again. Yeah, you thought I was coming up there, didn't you? But y'all come down here to meet me. Hallelujah. Welcome to earth, where we have been preparing the way for you guys. Here's your little mansion over here. What do you think? Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, good. Thank you, and thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So anyway.
Randy, I have a question for you about animals. I heard you talking about Lulu before, and we know in the Book of Revelation that God, they're going to be animals on the new earth. So, do you have a revelation on whether DNA from animals that perished will be regenerated for them to populate the earth, either during the millennial reign or during the period where the new earth begins after the millennial reign?
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if everybody, you know, here's the thing about we know about animals is that they have a soul, right? They don't have a spirit. People, I think most people agree that they don't have a spirit because man, that's what makes mankind more authoritative or whatever, makes them superior. There you go, superior, is that we have a spirit, soul, and a body. They have a soul. They have a mind. We all know our doggies and our kitty cats and all the animals have a mind. They have a mind. They have memory. If you hurt them, they'll remember that. If you bless them, they'll remember that. They have a soul. So I think that they will, Nicole, but I really don't know for sure. You know, if Jesus is going to come back on a horse,
right?
You know, I think horses are. I really like horses, but if he's going to have horses, then what stops him from having animals, like you said, that will be resurrected? You know, and get bodies too. Get the same body Lulu had, except a glorified body. I think so, but
right.
I don't have any proof of it that I know of.
Yeah, because, there's a scripture where it says the whole creation is groaning. So in other words, we're humans, of course, we know we're suffering, but all of creation, including animals, are suffering what it means to be
right.
on a fallen earth.
Yeah, I think that, animals are, I think that's why God used animals to do sacrifices, for Israel, when they sinned, they brought sheep and animal, cattle and doves and that kind of thing. Because really, in a true essence, I don't think that they, even though they're under the curse with us, I think they're very innocent. I think they have innocent blood for the most part. I know there's animals that are crazy and that kind of thing, but for the most part, I think most animals are totally innocent and pure. So I think that's why God maybe used animals to, become, when Christ came, as the Lamb of God came later, but he had, literally have animals. I think that's why he did it, because they're so pure and innocent in their own right.
Yeah. And it's interesting in other, not in the book of Revelation, but in other books, they talk about during the, in the future post second coming, animals will not eat other animals. Like they'll eat straw.
Right.
And
right.
they won't attack each other, and a baby will lead them.
Yeah. Yeah, so and the lamb and the lion, they're going to lay together and,
Right.
In the millennium. So, I hadn't thought about that one, but, there's got to be scriptures out there, and I wish I was more familiar with that. But the lamb and the lion going to lay together, that's talking about the millennium, right, don't you think?
Yep, I do.
Yeah, so I think this, I never put that together until right now, but. I'm sure there's people out there that have knowledge about that could help us out on that one. But that's really cool. I think it's definitely going to happen. So, that'll be awesome.
I think about.
No, go ahead.
Amen.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think about, there's so many people who haven't come to Christ yet, and they have a heart for animals. And I wonder if people appreciate it that God has a plan for not only humans but for animals and other elements that exist
yeah.
in creation that yeah, they
I think
that they have not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead. They have not what?
No, I'm listening.
No, I want you to finish.
I was just going to say that people like to make it, sometimes I feel like people make it seem like, they get into nature worship and they have this idea that Christians are anti-nature and just want to exploit the earth and don't want to protect the earth or conserve resources. And it's like, wait a minute. we are with our God, and our God is for all of creation. And I think that if people knew that the pain of innocent, like you said, most animals are pure, the pain of animals suffering, so what do we mean they're suffering? In the wild, they're just eating each other.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's not God's best for them to be subject to, being a predator on other parts of creation in that way. I don't know. I'm saying apparently that's not God's best, because when we get to the next stage, now the lion's eating straw.
Yeah.
Not the hyena.
Exactly. He's got different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's. I know that's what the scripture says, so it's definitely going to happen. Yeah, that's going to be amazing. I don't understand the process of why human beings even started eating meat when they were eating, herbs and that kind of thing that God created. So it all shifted. The meat eating thing. It's kind of going to have. Yeah, got a lot of people talking. In fact, we have vegetarians, as we all know, that they believe that, maybe they're partially right about this thing. Yeah. But, I like my meat. I like my meat. I like my hamburgers. I like my steak.
I like it too.
As I can. Yeah, so I'm not kind of like going, hey, man, let's wait until God changes it and then we'll eat grass,
If he makes us.
I sure to be good. We'll mow our yard and we'll eat the clippings or something. I'm not sure where I was going to go. But. Yeah.
Do you Do you think it has anything to do with our attempt to get our DNA right? Like, I've heard you give so many excellent teachings as you've been revelating on the blood of Jesus and our DNA and getting supernatural restoration. Like, do you think there's I'm just wondering if there's an attempt to, because when you eat meat, you're consuming in part the blood, the DNA of another creature. So are you trying to get restored somehow with that? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good thought. Yeah. That's why they tell you under the law not to drink the blood, make sure the blood, I don't know if that blood ever completely gets out, because people that like their steak kind of raw. There's a little bit of blood in there. I'm not sure what they mean by that. I think they mean by the actual blood, I don't know. But you would think that would be true. You'd have to be partaking of the DNA to a certain degree. So I don't know. Maybe when our DNA changes, I really don't know. I think it's going to change everything when our DNA changes into the glory of God. We'll go back to, not even wanting meat anymore.
Wow, that'll be amazing. I love bacon.
That will be amazing. Yeah. I like turkey bacon for sure. But yeah, I like all kinds of stuff. But I just try to eat as clean as I can, pure as I can.
Yeah.
All right,
amen.
Y'all.
Amen.
Awesome.
Randy, would you consider praying for me before we go?
Absolutely. I was going to ask you, what can I pray for that? Okay. Absolutely.
Job stuff. I'm trying to pace myself. I heard you say when you were talking to Nicole from New Orleans about, we're made for different things. Like, some people are made, you were saying, for night shift and others are not. And I find that I'm very good at working certain kinds of jobs. Like, when I teach, that has always been a strong fit for me. You prepare for that kind of really 6 days a week, mornings and nights, but you have a lot of breaks. But whenever I've tried to work like a job where it's like a 9-to-5, it's been so hard for me. Like, just physically, it's so hard. And I have felt, I just felt really bad about that for a lot of years. And then finally I realized I just wasn't built that way. And so anyway, I'm at peace with that, but I'm trying to figure out what I should do over the summer. I can take it easy and wait till fall. I'm planning to teach some, but I don't know if I should, like, do more. So I just wanted prayer to make sure I'm not, you know, overworking or going in areas where I shouldn't go.
Yeah, I understand completely. Yeah, I think we can work less and make more and work less and get more done. You know, that's kind of, to me, the reversal. I had that, as I've talked about several times over the years, when the Lord started showing me, he said, I want you to pray that you work less and make more, you know. And so when people would ask me, when I go to church, you know, they ask me in the prayer group, would ask me, what are you going to pray for? I had a hard time telling them that because they're going to think I'm lazy, you know. And I'm not lazy. I like to work. I enjoy working. I enjoy getting stuff done. I like it. I'm thrilled. But so when they would say, you know, what do you want to pray for? The Lord said, tell them now. I'm going like, oh, God, please. And so I would have to tell them, you know. I said, hey, I want to work less and make more. Like, oh, God, they're going to think I'm lazy. And they kind of, it kind of catches them by surprise, you know. You say that, and they go like, wow, I think I really like that. So I found more people like that than I realized. They're going like, man, that's awesome. But that's what it was like, you know, without the curse. You know, everything was easy, and it wasn't some big labor thing. You know, yeah. So I believe
that.
So, yeah, somehow, some way, I can work less and even not only get more done, but make more. Like work half a day, and then what I used to get work for a full day, maybe a 10-hour day, that I can make, you know, more than that, working half a day. I mean, that's what I think God wants to do.
Amen.
All right, let's do that. Let's pray about that. And all right, anything else?
That was it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I always enjoy talking about all this stuff, you know. Yeah, I'm really addicted to all this stuff. I just love it. So we went from talking with Jeff about all this stuff to Carmen to Angie. Angie's out traveling, running around, kind of go all over the place. And, you know, you just never know what we're going to talk about and who we're going to talk to and what's going to happen. So thank you, Lord, for Nicole. We thank you, Jesus, for that very thing that I just said I believe is the will of God, that work less and make more, you know, so we can serve Jesus more, so we can, you know, just think of the day the scripture talks about. There's going to be a day when we say, know the Lord. You're not going to need to say know the Lord, because everybody's going to know the Lord. Can you imagine that? So what are we going to do then? Just lay back and go, man, I think I'm taking that, because we don't have to tell people about Jesus no more. No, we're not going to lay down and take a nap. Well, we can take a nap, but we're going to find a whole different thing going on. We're going to enjoy the presence of God. There's all kinds of things we're going to do besides trying to win people to Jesus, because everybody's going to know the Lord. So I thank you, Lord, for that we're making that transition into that place, God, where we work less and make more. I really believe it. It's happened to me. I work less, and I love working. Sometimes I work more than I have to work, because I just enjoy helping people and getting things done. You know, just make me feel good for some reason. But less and make more. Yeah, and that's literally happened to me. So be praying those prayers for several years and having to pray them in front of people who I thought would think I was, like, lazy. They just kind of thought, man, that's a really good prayer. Yeah, kind of going, oh, okay, so you like that, huh? So we thank you, Jesus, for giving us a different taste for what we're supposed to do, what we're called to do, what you want us to do, and that sometimes we can't see beyond working all day long and getting all this stuff done and getting the thrill off of it to transition into something, getting things done, but a whole different thing that we're getting done. You know, we sit there and we can speak words of life into something instead of having to clean up the house and say, all dust, I command you to disappear now in Jesus' name. And all oils, manifest on all my furniture and oil it up, make it look pretty and shiny. And it does it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's going to happen exactly. So I don't have a revelation of what we're going to do when we don't win people to Jesus anymore. What are we going to do then? Well, I think God's got something in store I just don't know what it is yet, but I thank you, Jesus, for that, for Nicole. God, bring her to that place where those divine appointments and to work less and make more. I mean, not just work less and make less, you know, and then live off less. I mean, that can be okay, but, you know, work less, make more. So thank you, Lord, for that blessing in her life. In Jesus' name, open that up. Hallelujah. And, okay, y'all, you know, I'm just going to call it a night because I am like, I hate to say it, but I am, wow. So let's see what I'm doing here. So I guess I would call it a night tonight. Is that okay with y'all? I know I missed some people. I also got some people. I called some numbers that people didn't answer. So, yeah, I'm ready. I know I still got 30 minutes left, but you know what? I'm going to take off 30 minutes. Get it later. All right, so we're going to do that. All right, let's go here and call it a night. We will see you guys tomorrow night. Thanks for being here. Think about everything we're saying. Think about meditating on stuff. Maybe you don't agree with it theologically. That's okay. You know, I'm used to people who don't agree with me theologically, and I still love them. I still fellowship with them. I listen to preachers who are big-time pre-tribulation rapture people, big-time. I mean, major, that's all they talk about sometimes. But when they do talk about other things, they talk about, it's amazing the stuff they talk. So I listen to them. I don't throw a baby out of the bathwater. They believe the pre-trib rapture thing. I don't believe that at all. But yet I listen to their teachings all the time because they got some good stuff. All right, so let's don't throw the baby out the bathwater. Let's learn how to grow in Jesus, love our brothers and sisters who don't believe like we do. Maybe you might have to do that with me. I don't know what you believe, where you're at on stuff. You may totally disagree with me. It's okay. No problem. It's not a big deal. Right, let's fellowship in Jesus, and maybe God will open up all of our eyes. That's what I'm believing God for, open up all of our eyes. I need my eyes open just like anybody else does. So I'm going to call it a night. Thank you very much for being with us, and that's it for me. Bye-bye.